This is Joe Costello's WFO Radio.
Totally nonstop WFO, baby.
Covering everything that has wheels, an engine, and a driver.
All I want to know if you got your popcorn ripped.
NASCAR.
Four-time Cup champion, Jeff Gordon.
I definitely know where you're coming from, and that's what it really, truly takes.
IndyCar.
She's the newest IndyCar Series winner, Danica Patrick.
I know. Yeah, let's do it.
Formula One.
From the driver's perspective, David Hobbs.
To not have a race in North America, to me, is frankly appalling.
Sports cars.
He's been unstoppable in the factory Corvettes, Johnny O'Connell.
It's very cool to be talking to you this time all the way from Le Mans, France.
And NHRA drag racing.
NHRA funny car champ, John Force.
Big money, all the money here. It's just a race everybody wants to win.
WFO Radio is Total Motorsports.
Bring it on.
Fasten your seatbelts. Fire up the ignition. And drop the hammer. Now, here's your host, Joe Costello.
Welcome back to WFO Radio. Those of you listening around the world on the WFO Radio iPhone and Android application. Those of you sitting in front of your desktop computer being so thankful that you have Windows XP or Windows 7. And those of you sitting in front of your computer with Windows 8 going, how does this work? Welcome to all of you. We are back and bigger and better than ever. After a monster weekend of racing, it is Father's Day weekend. Father's Day coming up. Big father, and let's bring in the father on the show, Mr. Father Guy, Great Giovanni, Miami.
Woo, thank you for reminding me of my old age.
It has nothing to do with old age. There are fathers who are young age. You happen to be a little older, but middle-aged, middle-ish. It's time for the midlife crisis.
Yep, just about there, midlife. I figure at 40, if I live to be 80, I'm right there, halfway, man. I am cresting right now, about to get going on the downhill side.
Let me tell you something. You're going to live a lot longer than 80. I think we all are.
I don't know about all that.
My grandmother just recently passed away. Rest in peace, Graham. And she lived to be 93, I believe. 91 or 93. And smoked every day, like five packs every day, and grew up in a much more difficult world.
I would tend to disagree. Your grandmother probably had a lot different life than the life that you are living.
Right. Harder.
I would disagree with
worse
that.
Worse medical science.
Did your grandmother work?
Yeah.
She had a job? She worked? Or she was a housewife?
No, she worked. She was a worker. She worked. She worked in a pharmacy. I remember going to see her up at the center, behind the counter. There she was, Graham, and I'd go see her. That's not the point, though. The point is she was a smoker. And lived well into the 90s. So for you to go for 80 is, I think, you're shooting low, is all I'm saying. Shooting a little low. Let's crank it up there to something a little more realistic. We're in the 2000s, baby. Medical science and technology, they can keep you alive. First of all, let's back it up. You haven't had any major medical issues so far, right?
I'm fairly healthy.
Right.
Yes, I am.
Me too. So that's good. We're not in the hole already. Second of all, we're not living like big-time physical existences. We're not digging ditches or pouring molten magma in the mill where Rudy worked. We're not doing that. So I'm going to call it right now 105. That's where we're going to go at least.
I do not expect triple to make digits. Triple digits at all.
No?
Nope.
I think we are. Just medical science, man. I mean, you might not be conscious. You might be hooked up to some sort of machinery.
You know, I'm not even going to respond to that.
Like the Matrix. Look, what year will it be when that happens?
Look, first and foremost.
It's 2013 now.
Let me just stop you. Don't go too
years.
Far. You want to live to be 100? That's way out of the norm. Life expectancy in the United States as of 2011 is 78.64 years. That's less than 79. 78 and a half years.
Is that the average?
Average. Life expectancy.
Average life expectancy.
Correct. So, yes, a few people might trickle to 80, 90, 100, but most are dying relatively right around 80.
Yes, but I mean, I'm sure a lot of people are dragging that average down with all the big obesity problems and the people that happen to get knocked off just accidentally. That happens, unfortunately. It's always a terrible thing. But in 40
You're wrong,
years,
dude. You're wrong. If not, everybody would be 100 years old and still alive.
But these people who are 100 now...
How many are there? There's like three or four. There's a handful of people that even live to be 100. I don't even know how we got this, dude.
There's a commercial, I'm telling you, man. Look, we're talking about Father's Day and how exciting it is and how you're going to leave.
I know, and here you got
it. What's really funny is that you're like, no, I'm not going to live to be that old. They're like, yes, you are. And you're like, no. It's like I'm condemning you to some sort of horrible fate.
It's not a condemnation. It's just that I'm not expecting to live to be 100.
But I still think you're
Because most people don't live to be 100.
But if
the vast majority don't. A very minor.
Okay, here's what we got to do now. Go back 40 years ago and find out what was the life expectancy back then. That's what you've got to do. Because if the life expectancy 40 years ago was like 60-something, then I'm right in terms of trend. That having been said, while Gio works on that, hey, everybody, welcome to WFO Radio Ignition. And this is exactly what we do. We got a big motorsports docket today. Oh, boy, all kinds of great stuff, including the party at the Poconos 400, another race that I have picked the victor in. And I'm not bragging or anything, but that's 4 out of 5, says Giovanni. 4 out of 5. 2 by me, a miss, and then 2 more by me. And I'm carrying the team right now. I'm really hoping everyone will pick it up towards the end of the year. If that happens, we're going to have a banner year as a show. Coming off a banner year as a show. But right now, I am just burning it up. So play the picks. I picked first again this week, and it's going to be great. Jimmy Johnson clearly had something to prove this week in Pocono after the whole Dover flopping situation. And if you did not hear the comments, the world of the NBA and NASCAR were merged by Jimmy Johnson, all the flopping that's going on in the NBA, which everybody hates, and yet it's part of the game. It's just like in soccer. And maybe they'll do something about it. Maybe they won't. I don't know if that's a good idea or not. They're going to go to video. They're going to use video technology to determine whether or not people are flopping. Is that a good thing?
No.
You want to keep it up to the human element?
Look, I don't have the big problem with the flopping that everybody's got.
People are, they got a big problem with the flopping.
I mean, some of it is excessive, like when you see somebody just that doesn't actually get touched and they're jumping back and making the scene. That's fine. I don't have a problem when somebody actually hits you or bumps into you to sell the call and fall. Because the reality is that a lot of these guys, like say, LeBron, for instance, is a big guy. He's 6'8", 250. So he could take a little bit more than the average guy. If, you know, like Shaq. Shaq used to be fouled on every call. But they don't always call it because he's a big guy. So in order for him to get the call, it would have to be a real bigger and harder foul. So in essence, just because the guy is bigger, you're punishing him that he should just take that abuse. That's not really a foul. So you're going to call fouls on smaller, skinnier guys just because they're not as big and physically menacing? So no, I don't really have such a problem with the flopping. I don't think it's a big, I don't think it's a problem.
Well,
I don't like it, like I said, when guys are acting completely and they weren't touched and they're jumping.
Well, how do you determine that? And that's the whole point. And Jimmy Johnson obviously is a fan of the NBA, or at least watching, because he chose to utilize that as an example of what happened with Juan Montoya, that Juan Montoya flopped. I don't think that was a fair analogy.
It's not even a good comparison, period. Because what Juan Montoya did is got nothing to do with flopping. Juan is the leader, and Jimmy somehow has forgotten this. He's like, oh, well, Juan didn't go, so I decided to go. Well, guess what? You're not the leader. The leader of the race is the one who makes that decision.
Has Jimmy's reputation taken a minor hit?
Personally, it's taken a huge hit.
Huge.
Personally, yeah.
Huge
personally, yeah.
Hit.
I do. I
massive.
Think so. Yeah.
You've lost a lot of respect for Jimmy Johnson.
I kind of have. He's still whining and crying about it even after he won at Pocono this week.
Obviously, he feels very strongly about it.
But he's wrong.
Maybe he is wrong. Yes, I agree. He is wrong. I think it is very clear that he is wrong. But he doesn't see it that way. Jimmy has got some sort of thing about this.
He's upset with himself. He should be upset with himself.
Juan deked him or faked him out or what? That's really what happened. But here's the thing is now you've got an angry
clear.
Jimmy Johnson
Jimmy was
who is
trying
out there to win races.
Yeah, to me it was really clear. Jimmy was trying to jump the start on Juan and get a leg up on him at the restart. And it's not his position to do that. He's the second place guy. He's not the one that is in charge of restarting the race. It's the leader. And so he's upset because he tried to time it perfectly where he was like, oh, okay, I see where we're going, and he's going to time it, and he's going to get a jump on Juan. And Juan didn't start at the pace that Jimmy thought he was going to start. Jimmy made a mistake.
Yes, except why doesn't Jimmy recognize this? That's the whole thing. We get the deal. And Jimmy went out there and asserted himself this week and totally dominated in Pocono, which I foresaw was going to happen, which is why I picked him. But what's going on here? Jimmy's a five-time champion.
He's whining and crying. He's
why?
A five-time champion.
63 wins.
He should
why?
Just forget about this. Move
yes,
on.
Yes, he should. But why, he's not, why is he not?
They made a mistake and they can't admit it.
They've made lots of mistakes that they've admitted over the years.
But like, they can't admit this
why
one.
Why is this one? There's some. That's what I don't get. That's what I don't get. And I'm not saying I have a theory about it. Why is this one sticking in Jimmy's craw? Why can't he say, yeah, man, I just stomped on the gas too early? Or, yeah, Juan didn't go. He tricked me. Or, you know, gamesmanship. Or what's going on? That's what I want to know. I always want to go to the next level. I want to unfold the layers. Like, what is why? Just because Jimmy is just a jerk and secretly all this time.
I wouldn't go that far, but I'll tell you, it's really,
he hates Juan.
It really makes me understand why some people don't like Jimmy, and they say he's such a whiner, and when he doesn't get his way.
When else has he whined, other than this?
Well, those that don't like Jimmy could say that he whines and complains.
Well, look, you're siding with the people who don't like Jimmy, and I think they have proven over the years that they are a group that is not really based in reality.
No, but in this particular instance, here we have a guy who's a five-time champion, had won 62 races prior to that.
Yes.
And he's still whining and complaining over not a bad call, over their own mistake. And now he's trying to blame and deflect the situation up until
Juan. So what's going on? That's the thing that just makes no sense.
I am one of those that really feels that people should own their baggage. All right, he made a mistake. He jumped the restart. Admit it, and that's it.
Right.
Move on.
Except he's not. Why not?
Because he's whining and crying. He's a crybaby. If you ask, I don't care to know why.
That's the thing.
To me, it's the bottom line is that he's crying and whining, and it's kind of, it's unbecoming.
It's
unbecoming of a champ.
It's so much harder to do what he's doing. It's requiring so much more effort to do this. Look what he's doing. Look at you. You're whining about Jimmy whining. It's why
and
is
I like
he going
Jimmy,
to this extreme?
But I've kind of lost a little.
Why is Jimmy going to this extreme to talk about Dover? Weeks later. That's what's interesting to me, is that he obviously feels very strongly. He's calling for a rules change. He's asking, he basically says that the leader may or may not ever start the race, is basically what he's saying. Like, what if, his hypothetical question was, what if Juan just decided to ride around at the pit road speed in perpetuity? You know what I'm saying?
He could, but once he passes that restart zone, then the other guy can pass him.
Right.
There is a rule in place.
So Juan, the rule is written, which I don't have a problem with, and I'm all for, but I'm just trying to get to the bottom of Jimmy is clearly highly motivated and is definitely winning the championship this year and is going to pull away and dominate for sixth. It's inevitable because of superior ability, superior manpower, superior equipment, superior flexibility, and now he's pissed. And we saw the initial result of that at the party of the Poconos, and it's only going to get worse because I don't see anybody else running with them. But why? Why did that one thing? This is not the first time Jimmy's been tricked. This is not the first time he's been made a mistake. He's made all kinds of mistakes. We just don't remember him because he's a five-time champ. So something weird about this. That's all I'm getting to, is something just doesn't add up. I don't quite get it. Now, Dale Jr. had a good race. But it wasn't a great race in general. It was total domination. Jimmy now has a 51-point lead over Carl Edwards. Clint Bowyer is third. Dale Jr. is fourth. So his solid season continues. My fantasy team, speaking of Juan Montoya, went downhill when Matt Kenseth and Juan Montoya spun out. Bit of an issue there. It is Jimmy's third win of the season. And week in and week out, there has really been nobody better than this guy.
Matt Kenseth this year.
Matt has begun to fade, and now with the Toyota lack of reliability.
Well, with, Denny Hamlin will tell you that they potted it back a little too much and he didn't have enough horsepower last week and that's why he ended up where he did.
Yeah.
So he says he'd rather have a car that gives him a chance to win and will blow up than to have a car that he knows he can't win in.
Just doesn't seem like the kind of problem that you want to have either way.
Oh, I agree. I would rather have a fast car that's reliable. But in this case, if it's not reliable, and you're going to back the power down to where you can't even win?
Yeah.
Doesn't make sense. I think you have to just, you know what? You roll the dice.
The ultimate challenge of the engine builder. So Jimmy Johnson wins the race. Let's hear from Double J. See what Jimmy has to say after his 63rd career win, this one at Pocono.
Great race car, clearly. I mean, that car had a ton of speed in it. And not only the car, but I think our engine really had a chance to shine today. And you know, the configuration here and the fact that we're able to shift, our engine shop works really hard to make that power. And today it showed. And then at times when we needed to conserve fuel, we could get that done as well. So I felt like it was a very well-rounded weekend for us.
Handling, fuel mileage, horsepower, they've got it all. They have got it all. Jimmy Johnson is the Miami Heat of NASCAR teams right now, running ramshot over the entire league in the regular season. But what will happen come the playoffs? That is the question. What else did Jimmy say after his win?
Even if there's a big gap between points and positions, and I think you guys work hard and look at stats of who has gained the most points in the last 10 races and things like that. It's something we pay close attention to as well. So if we're protecting a big lead, but we're running 10th to 15th each week. You know, if I look at the last 2 weeks as an example, we didn't finish where we should.
You should have won the past 2 weeks. See, he's still thinking about it. And what he did say was that he's just happy to be locked in to the chase, which he pretty much is. I mean, you could say that he's first in the points. He's not going to fall out of the top 12, and he's got 3 wins. And so does Matt Kenseth, and so someone would have to win at least 3 times and pass him in points, and he'd have to fall out of the top 12.
Out of the top 20 at that point, I would say.
Right. So Jimmy is locked in, which is pretty understandable.
All right. I mean, I would go as far as saying he could miss races.
Well, he's talking about it because Richmond is around when his next child is supposedly due. He says if Shani goes into labor, I don't have to worry about Richmond. And so maybe he will miss a race at some point. But who knows? Who knows? Maybe that's a part of the motivation. Greg Biffle comes home second. Biff has been having a tough year. What did he say after a great second-place finish?
Like Junior said, 48 was super fast. I felt like I was as good as a 48, close to him in 1 and 2 or 1 in the tunnel. But, 3 and 4, he was really just driving away from everybody. So he's got something figured out over there, but it was a good day for us.
Super fast. Greg Biffle, good day. And Dale Jr. came home third, was second late, but got passed by Biff. But Jr. was happy.
We didn't have the winner of the race covered, but we had everybody from fifth on back covered. You know, so when your car can run that well, you want to finish where it should finish. But I think the repaves, we ran well here last year. We got a good package. Going to Pocono and going to Michigan and hopefully going to Michigan. We got a good package. We'll see when we get there. But so far, it's been real similar to last year. We were strong here last year.
Perhaps one of the favorites going into Michigan. We'll see when we make our picks. All right, when we come back, we're going to get into it. We got IndyCar to talk about, Formula One to talk about. We got a little Tommy time. We got some calls from you folks out there, 954-889-6796. I want to talk about going topless in Miami with the Southern Automotive Media Association. Not me, in a convertible car. Convertible cars. Various convertible cars, including the BMW M3, the Porsche 911 Carrera S, the Miata MX-5, the Mustang GT. We got to drive just about all of them. And it was an interesting experience. We will talk about that coming up on the show. And a whole lot more, plus our picks. And the hippy-tippy, and just so much I can't even begin to talk about it. First, I want to tell you about Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Frank's school is awesome, especially if you've got a bucket list and you want to try something wild. You know you're thinking, hey, I'm as old as Gio, and I'm not going to live to be 100, but I want to do something for my midlife. And so notice I don't say crisis, because it's not about that. It's about just trying something new. And you're thinking, maybe I'll jump out of a plane. Yeah, big mistake. Don't do that. Do something that's actually useful, something that will be cool, that will help you relate to the race car drivers you follow. Check out Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School, where he teaches champion drivers and can teach you as well. You can get the thrill of driving a super comp dragster or an alcohol funny car or whatever you want. Check him out, frankhawley.com. Big supporters of the show. Absolutely tremendous people. Fantastic. And check them out. Click the banner out on the front page of WFOradio.com. Because if you want to do something amazing for your bucket list, trust me, as someone whose best personal elapsed time is 788 at 170 miles per hour, I know it's an amazing sensation. And you can get it at Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School.
This is WFO Radio. This Father's Day, take Dad to the drag races. The Ford NHRA Thunder Valley Nationals, Father's Day weekend at Bristol Dragway. See John Force and his daughters Courtney and Brittany as they take on the field at drag racing's premier event. Tickets start at just $20 or get a weekend pass for only $79. Get $5 off if you order before June 9th. It's all happening June 14th to 16th at Bristol Dragway. Get your tickets at ThundervalleyTix.com or call 423-BRISTOL.
Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Whether you're a bracket racer who wants to get better or a thrill seeker looking to cross it off your bucket list, Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School can put you on the right track. Don't believe me? Tell him, Frank.
No matter how little or how much experience you have, we've got a program for you. So if driving a dragster is on your bucket list, there's no better time than now. And if you'd like to be a pro, well, here's the newest funny car champ, Jack Beckman.
Hey, this is Jack Beckman. Long before I was Fast Jack, I was a bracket racer who went to the Frank Hawley School. The time I spent there was some of the most exciting, intense, and fulfilling moments ever in a race car. I feel the curriculum Frank developed greatly helped me win not only the Super Comp, but also the NHRA Nitro Funny Car Championship. Frank put me on the right track. What are you waiting for?
Call them at 866-480-7223. That's 866-480-7223. 480-7223 or visit frankhawley.com.
Android. WFO Radio is now available on Android.
You know, I get goosebumps just thinking of what you're saying.
You get the same award-winning motorsports entertainment that iPhone users have downloaded over 25,000 times.
You know, sometimes you just gotta pinch yourself.
We couldn't make this happen.
Ignition. NHRA Nitro. NASCAR coverage. Video. Push notifications. The WFO Radio NASCAR Tailgate Party Pick Show and more.
It's a whole different game.
The WFO Radio app is a must for any racing fan. The ultimate racing show. Sports radio for racing fans. It's in your pocket right now.
I'm going to scream.
Search WFO Radio and download it now.
I like it. It's exciting for me, and I know it's exciting for the fans.
Download it now. Now back to WFO Radio Ignition.
WFO Radio, Joe Costello here with you. And if you're new to the show, the Ignition Show is kind of a mostly motorsports-based free-for-all where we interact with our audience of loyal people around the world listening on the WFO Radio app and iPods and their devices around the world. And NHRA Nitro is more of an interview magazine-style show. If you're a big fan of the NHRA, we had a great show last night. We had Tim Wilkerson. We had Dave Reif from ESPN. We had Doug Herbert. And it was great stuff. Check it out. And, of course, NHRA in action this weekend at Bristol, Tennessee, Thunder Valley for the Ford Thunder Valley Nationals. And you WFOers out there, if you're in the area, get out there, check it out. They got all kinds of good stuff. Now, there are some strange things that happen at NASCAR races, and one of them this week, and it was the source of a lot of humor, but I don't think it's funny necessarily. It's not funny. Four heroin dealers were arrested and their drugs seized outside the party in the Poconos. The driver made a wrong turn leaving the track and attracted the attention of police, and it turns out there were four heroin dealers. And they were trying to hide several heroin packets. And the police say that they noticed drug paraphernalia inside the vehicle, started to search. Two of the suspects tried to hide several heroin packets, but police and NASCAR fans spotted the attempt and confiscated the drugs. Really? Really? NASCAR race at a race? Heroin? Really? That's where I get lost. I just lose it because my the world that I live in is just so far detached from that. Really? Really? Just like when I went to Kansas and the girl in the Walgreens told me that, tell me something about Kansas. And she's like, everybody here's on drugs. And I was like, really? What?
And, no, that's just everyone she knows is on drugs.
Well, right. Exactly. Everyone she knows is on drugs. She's, you know, a 20-something girl working behind the counter at a Walgreens. And now heroin at a NASCAR race? It just seems to be, not that I would know, but it just seems to be not the type of two things that really would mix. Like, I've seen lots of movies. There's been movies. There's drug use in the movies. Never in high-intensity environments. That's what I'll call a NASCAR race, is a high-intensity environment. Sound and smells and gas and exhaust, and it's in your face and it's loud. There's people everywhere, and you're in the public, and there's beer and there's alcohol, and then it's like, yeah, and heroin. No. One of these things just doesn't belong here. And on the other hand, maybe there's a market. I don't know. It's just one of those weird things. This past weekend in Pocono, Pennsylvania, TV ratings were down. 2.8 U.S. rating, 4.4 million viewers on TNT. That's down 13%. But then again, it's the first race on TNT, right?
Yeah, cable versus the network.
Cable versus the network, and getting everybody to switch over. The weather was pretty good this weekend. People were out. They were doing stuff.
Jimmy Johnson dominates the race. People tuned out.
Jimmy Johnson had it. It was obvious from the moment I picked him. It was obvious. It was obvious. Come on. You got to pick first. You would have picked Jimmy Johnson. Everybody would have picked Jimmy Johnson had they picked first. This week, guess who I'm picking? Ellis, I don't want to tip it because I could go in any direction. I'm actually leaning towards picking Dale Jr.
I wouldn't pick Jimmy at Michigan.
Why not?
Because he's never won there.
Exactly the reason to do it. But again, something else was.
But then again, I'm picking last and haven't picked a winner since last year. So what do I know?
Well, exactly. Your stock has dropped. Your stock as a handicap.
Dude, I'm a penny stock. What are you talking about?
That's the way it is, man. And then Bob Smith is really good. You're with Tommy. You and Tommy are of the same value right now. It's a round number. Danica Patrick is four times higher than any other celebrity endorser and brand-related social media buzz. Is that possible? Than any other?
In NASCAR or in just across the board? If it's in NASCAR, yeah, I buy that. That's very possible.
Across the board is what I'm getting from this USA Today story.
Really? So therefore, Danica Patrick has the highest Q rating of anyone in entertainment?
Well, not Q rating.
Well, but essentially the Q rating is that that's what it is. It's, well, that you can sell and that you're marketable and that people like you.
There's this brand called Synthseo.com. Social media reveals the true value of a celebrity endorser. This came out on the 10th. In a world governed by social media, where Justin Bieber is one of the most influential people on Twitter, it would logically follow that celebrity endorsement is a surefire way to generate social buzz around a brand, right? Brands have been dishing out big bucks for years to have these Hollywood stars and prominent figures front their brand. But how effective are celebrity endorsements really? Are brands really getting their money's worth? Always eager to take a sip from our Twitter fire hose, we monitored mentions of celebrity endorsers alongside mentions of the brands they endorse. To show you the most bankable celebrity endorsers are, we have ranked them according to the amount of social media buzz each celebrity generated for their brand. We looked at celeb endorsements over the course of a 30-day period and measured the percentage of social buzz generated by the celebrity for the brand. We took the number of mentions of the brand and the celebrity in the same tweet and divided by the total number of mentions of the brand. So you got the math, the formula? Here it is. Rank number one, Danica Patrick, GoDaddy, 12.72%. Number two, Rihanna, CoverGirl, 3.19%.
She's actually a singer.
Well, she's a celebrity.
Oh, CoverGirl is the never mind. CoverGirl is the brand that she's representing.
Yeah, it's makeup,
yeah,
right?
No, I thought you were saying CoverGirl like she's a CoverGirl, like a model.
No, she's a singer. And she's been, I mean, she's done that. She's just like a general celebrity, Rihanna.
She's a singer. No, that's what she is. She's a singer. That's why she's famous, because she sings.
She was in Battleship, which was good.
Well, she's, never mind.
But did you see Battleship?
No, I did not.
Oh, Battleship was great. Who saw Battleship? It was awesome. Way better than you would imagine. 3.19% says Rihanna. You know who is third? LeBron. And Nike, 1.73%. So whatever this is, this formula, Danica is 12% and LeBron is 1.7%. Alec Baldwin, Capital One, 1.36%. We've all seen those commercials with the Vikings and stuff. Jennifer Aniston for Smartwater. Have you ever seen Jennifer Aniston pitching Smartwater?
I don't recall, but I'm sure I have.
0.32%. Michael Phelps, Subway. This guy is the most awarded Olympian in the history of the world, right? 0.29%. So people don't be like tweeting about Michael Phelps and Subway.
I think that's one of those skewed surveys and crap, dude. I don't buy it.
Justin Timberlake, Bud Light, 0.21%. Alicia Keys, BlackBerry, 0.16%. Sofia Vergara, Pepsi, 0.04%. Ashton Kutcher and Nikon, 0.02%. Danica Patrick, 12.72%. Percentage of total brands social media buzz. Interesting. I kind of can get it in that. Look at it a different way. When you think of CoverGirl, Rihanna is not the first thing you think about. And when you think of Subway, Michael Phelps is not the first thing you think about.
Nope.
But
when I say
GoDaddy, Danica is really part of the whole GoDaddy thing. She's in just about all of their commercials. She has been in more Super Bowl commercials than anybody ever. So maybe that is why, if we're talking about GoDaddy.
Possibly, but GoDaddy themselves have backed off of Danica as of recently and have gone more with Hinchtown.
Yeah. And it goes on and on, and you can check it out. They talk about non-human endorsers as well. For instance, this might be interesting to you. I'll put it in a different way. Who has the higher percentage? The Geico Gecko, the Aflac Duck, the Pillsbury Doughboy, or Flo from Progressive, who is human but not a real person?
Well, Flo is actually someone.
She's an actress pretending to be Flo. The others, it's almost not fair because the others are not real. The Gecko is animated, the Doughboy is claymation, and the Duck is, I guess it's a real duck. Right? What is that?
For all I know, it's CGI.
CGI. So any clue? The mascot endorser with the highest social media buzz? Can you follow the Pillsbury Doughboy on Twitter? 22%. Almost double Danica Patrick. But then again, everybody knows the Pillsbury Doughboy. I thought that was, I don't know what it is. It's definitely something. It's something of interest to those of you who follow the social media world. Another big thing, apparently there's going to be a big announcement. Dale Earnhardt Jr., very close to a new multi-year sponsorship deal. Multi-year, who could it be? Some quotes out there. We don't want to get into sponsor relationships where you see somebody one time and you don't see them anymore after that. I'm very confident that next couple weeks we should have not only this year covered, but we should have a lot done for next year too. And National Guard, Mountain Dew, and Amp Energy are covering most of the car. So that'll be interesting. New sponsor for Dale Earnhardt Jr. Just goes to show. Some big-time success. All right, we're going to take a quick break, come back, talk a little IndyCar. Here's some Tommy time. We've got Fantasy Report. We got a whole bunch to get into. But I wanted to scan the news of the day. And that social media thing. Wow, isn't that just the most important thing you've heard all day? We'll be back after this. But first, I want to tell you about the Ford Thunder Valley Nationals. That's right, folks. If you're in the Bristol, Tennessee area, if you have made the drive to the world's fastest half mile, here's what I can tell you about the difference between Thunder Valley, which is about 500 feet away. You can walk around in the pits. Can't do that at the NASCAR race. You can meet and have prolonged conversations with many different drivers. It's not really something you can do at the world's fastest half mile just because you're segregated from the infield of the track. It's Father's Day weekend. They've got all kinds of great specials, not only for father but for mom too. They've got a top-end viewing area that you can upgrade to and watch the cars scream past you at 300 miles per hour. So lots going on at the world's fastest half-mile grounds where Thunder Valley Dragway is, the Bristol Dragway, and it is the Ford Thunder Valley Nationals. Check them out. Click the banner ad on the front page of WFOradio.com or go to BristolDragway.com and check it out. It's this weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and the NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing Series points season is just starting the second half of their regular season. So it's about to get real serious, real quick. Check it out this weekend at Bristol Dragway.
This is WFO Radio. Redline Synthetic Oil has been building the world's finest motor oil, gear oil, and additives, like our popular water wetter, for over 30 years. Think we're just for racers? Think again. Redline has the multi-grade viscosity available for your domestic, European, or Japanese vehicle. From 0W20 to 5W30, even 10W60, Redline motor oils are specifically designed to exceed the factory's demands, giving you longer drain intervals at lower oil temperatures. Is your off-the-shelf motor oil missing the zinc you need to protect your camshaft? Every bottle of Redline motor oil has more than enough zinc to suit your engine's needs. The same ester-based stocks found in Redline motor oil are also in our gear oils for manual transmissions and differentials. Known around the globe as the best in protection, regardless of price. Check us out at redlineoil.com to find a dealer or even buy online. Racing technology engineered for the street. That's Redline Oil.
This Father's Day, take Dad to the drag races. The Ford NHRA Thunder Valley Nationals, Father's Day weekend at Bristol Dragway. See John Force and his daughters Courtney and Brittany as they take on the field at drag racing's premier event. Tickets start at just $20 or get a weekend pass for only $79. Get $5 off if you order before June 9th. It's all happening June 14th to 16th at Bristol Dragway. Get your tickets at ThunderValleyTix.com or call 423-BRISTOL.
Hey! This is Carlos, WFO Radio producer. When you're done watching all the great videos, which I made, on the WFO Radio TV YouTube channel, head over to the WFOradio.com store for some really hot WFO Radio gear, like the WFO Radio hat, which is now only $15. WFO New Era hats are on sale for Father's Day. Get a hat for your dad, get a hat for your head, or a sticker kit for your truck at WFOradio.com. Get some.
Hey, racing fans, this is Big Dave Lemon, the host of Poker Action Line Radio. And I know you guys are big racing fans, but you probably like poker as well. So why not tune into a great poker show featuring interviews with poker stars and some of the greats of the game? That's Poker Action Line. You can find it on iTunes by searching Poker Action Line or pick it up on our website at PokerActionLine.com.
WFO Radio. Total Motorsports. Here's Joe Costello.
Ah, the guys from Poker Action Line. How's Big Dave and Joe and the guys there, Giovanni?
Great.
Yeah? You can hear that now on Stitcher Radio as well. For those of you who want to listen mobily here on WFO Radio, we have our own free mobile app for iOS and for Android. We even have it for iPad, and we're closing in on 30,000 downloads of our app. 30,000. We are closing in like it's going to happen in next week, I would say, middle of next week, the way things are going. Best decision I ever made, making the app free for you guys, for giving you guys, the audience, some freeness out there. And you know what else happened this week? I don't know why, but there was an explosion of sales of the WFO Radio hat. And we're sending out like a couple of hats, and we're almost sold out. It's like on the verge, on the brink, on the precipice of sold out. The first wave of I think so. At least in the closet there that I looked in. But I don't know what happened, but everyone, I guess because it's Father's Day, and it's like, get a hat for your dad, get a hat for your head. But folks, if you are podcast listeners and you get your media through this mechanism and you would like to listen to a show about poker, check out Poker Action Line. Big Dave and Joe are great guys. They're very, very knowledgeable, and I learn a lot when I listen about poker stars, World Series of Poker, things that are going on, and most importantly, poker strategy. So check it out. Now, we've been talking a lot about social media and TV ratings, and I found one more story that I want to get into before we move on to IndyCar and Formula One, make our picks here, Tommy time, because this is something we were talking about a few weeks ago there, Giovanni. Fox, their portion of the season has concluded. And so they released their press release about how they did. And, of course, this is coming from them, so it's the most colorful version of what went down. But I'm okay with that. I support that. That's how it goes. They put out a press release. Get this. NASCAR on Fox concluded its 2013 portion of the season as the highest-rated, most-watched sport in season for the 13th straight season. Now, I don't know that I know what that means exactly in season. According to figures released today by Nielsen Media Research, the complete 2013 NASCAR on Fox Sprint Cup season averaged a potent 4.8 10 household rating slash share. So 4.8 rating, 10 share for the third time in 4 years, 2010, 2012, 2013. In addition to its 13-year in-season reign, what does that mean? Well, do you know what that means? In season.
I don't know for sure. I'm going to assume is like that the NFL gets higher numbers on Fox, but they're not competing versus NASCAR. The NFL runs in the fall, and NASCAR's even though NASCAR's running in the fall, Fox isn't covering them at that point. So NFL on Fox gets higher numbers than NASCAR on Fox, but they're not competing against each other on Fox.
So for the
that's
stuff,
my thought. For the stuff that Fox is competing on now, during, I guess, February through May or June or whatever.
In this season that we're in.
During the season. So versus their baseball ratings or whatever else is in season is my assumption.
That makes sense. In addition to its 13-year in-season reign, the 2013 NASCAR on Fox season also outperformed the NBA playoffs on ABC by 41%, a 4-8 to a 3-4. As well as complete NBA conference finals coverage on all networks by 7%, a 4-8 to a 4-5. NASCAR, go ahead. Listen, if you see something that you think, because I know you're a big basketball fan.
No, not huge, but the basketball games, other than the finals that are now on ABC,
on
were TNT and ESPN. So it's, I'm sure they're limited by the number of households that receive that.
Yes.
Versus Fox the Network.
Which is not in all, but most. NASCAR on Fox is the only major sport on broadcast network to not post a year-to-year ratings decline this year. NASCAR on Fox also continues to be a ratings force among male viewers watching events live. Compared to broadcast network primetime entertainment programming, live NASCAR on Fox viewership ranks second among men 18 to 49 and men 25 to 54 from February through the end of the broadcast season. That's pretty good. What was first, I wonder? They don't tell us. NASCAR has been a bedrock of consistency in an unpredictable media environment, best exemplified by the sport's same strong rating in 3 of the last 4 years, said Michael Mulleville. He's the senior vice president of programming and research at Fox Sports. This season, we helped the sport introduce a new generation car, which by all measures is a tremendous success. Tremendous. We also tried new formats for our biggest pre-race shows and came up with new hit segments like Michael Waltrip pre-race pit walk, which kind of seems like Formula One. With the upcoming launch of Fox Sports One, our partnership with NASCAR becomes more essential to our overall success. NASCAR is poised for a tremendous future, and we're glad to be along for the ride. NASCAR on Fox 2013 also posted ratings increases in 5 of the top 7 and 9 of the nation's 15 biggest markets, including Los Angeles, up 6, Chicago, up 32. Overall ratings grew 7%, 4-5 to 42, in the country's 56 biggest markets compared to a year ago, says Fox Sports. So right now, as the economy surges forward and people realize, okay, the crisis in the past, who survived? Who's still alive on the battlefield? And you look at NASCAR, and NASCAR has done pretty darn well. That's very interesting. I remember hearing sports radio guys go, well, you know, aren't they dropping off? I guess not. I guess not. And on that note, I think it's time for a little Tommy time.
Hey, it's Tommy time. And this week I want to talk about Hall of Famer, NFL, Jim Brown's statements that he made the other day, talking about the fact that football has fallen behind in NASCAR safety-wise. And I think that he made a valid point, but I think that NASCAR still has a long way to go. They were talking about concussions and stuff, and last year Junior was, for the first time, a driver ever stepped aside based on a concussion, and I still think that maybe there are drivers who are not as willing to step out of the car as Junior was to make a note. So I think that NASCAR still has quite a bit way to go before they're, you know, as far as concussions go, known as the leader in the industry. And someone did bring up the point with the great Dick Trickle, who shot himself, that maybe one of the reasons why he shot himself in the chest was so maybe his brain could be, you know, tested by science and found out that maybe he had long-term effects. So hopefully at some point people will look into this and, you know, not like NASCAR isn't doing everything they can, but this is another avenue. And since the NFL, Jim Brown brought it up, Hall of Famer, I thought I'd bring it up too. I know this week wasn't funny, but it is, you know, my opportunity to say what I want to say. So that's what I said. I'll talk to you next week.
Tommy time, everybody. Tommy, very
Ooh,
serious.
Way to bring us down.
Very
Tommy.
Serious. Tommy time. Wow.
Does he even know who Jim Brown is?
Dick Trickle.
Other than he's an NFL Hall of Famer?
Committed suicide. Yeah, I think he does. Maybe he does. Wow.
Does he know that he's a great actor?
There's a lot to unpack. Yes, he is.
Dirty Dozen.
Oh, man. Dirty Dozen. There was a lot of those movies in the 70s.
Blaxploitation type movies?
I wasn't going to say that, but I was
That's
certainly
what
I was thinking it. It's a very sensitive area.
No, it's not.
I'm going to get you, sucker. Remember that?
Yeah.
Robert Townsend? That was great. Man, I'm still
Pam
looking.
Grier was the queen of those movies.
I'm
what are
looking
you talking
for
about?
The shoes with the fish in it. Now. Back to the suicide of Dick Trickle. Thanks, Tommy. We didn't really cover that too much on the show other than, man, that's terrible. I don't quite understand why someone commits suicide in their, you know, after,
or whatever,
when it's old, when you're old. Perhaps he did have some sort of issue. Junior Seau had an issue. They committed suicide. They want to be studied. There's some sort of problem. We can't delve into that because we don't know. We have no proof. It's just total 100% speculation. As far as Jim Brown talks about the NFL being behind NASCAR, I would agree with that. And this will be 3 weeks in a row. I'm shilling Bill Simpson's book, Through the Fire, only because this is in it. He talks about getting together with one of the guys from the Colts, their offensive coordinator. They met at that boatyard place we hung out at
the boatyard
a couple of years ago. And they started talking to each other. And next thing you know, Bill Simpson, who is now working on helmets for the NFL, trying to figure it out. And he said when he looked at the helmets that they provided that they were not very good. And this is all in his book. And that there's a lot that can be done. But the collisions are different. Everything is different. It's not the same. It's very, very different. A lot can be done. And that's where he left off. Jim Brown probably realizes that. I think the NFL realizes it, too.
Yeah, I think Jim Brown is just putting it out there as in NASCAR has gotten, we can all agree on, at the forefront of the safety issue. Whereas a decade ago, they were behind the ball and guys were dying left and right. Or I don't want to, you know, exaggerate,
for
but a handful of guys died within a very small period of time.
Yeah.
And then NASCAR got proactive, and now we have the safer barriers, the Hans device, and a whole bunch of other issues, the safer car.
The thing that
I think that's what he was alluding to, that NASCAR, at least on the in the great scheme of things, it appears that they have gotten ahead of the safety issue and are trying to do something about it, where the NFL has been playing catch-up, especially on this whole concussion thing.
And they will continue because, and it all comes down to a few things, one of which being legality and liability.
And that's the bottom line.
It's really right there. Nobody wants to admit whether they're ahead or they're behind, because that is almost like admitting that you are responsible and liable for being behind. It sure sounds like an admission of some sort of guilt when you would say that you're behind. So no one will ever say they are behind. Now, that having been said, the Hans device was in existence prior to the deaths of all these people when they were dying left and right. It was just not mandated. No one had really felt it was necessary after the death of Adam Petty and Kenny Irwin and Tony Roper and Dale Earnhardt, which was the, you know, the icing on the cake, cherry on top, that finally moved people to do something. Remember, the deaths of those guys, nothing was changing. Nothing was changing. Racing was racing. Racing was tough. You get in a car, there's a chance you could die. Everybody knows it. Everyone that's watching knows it. Everybody that's there knows it. Everyone that's in it knows it. And that's just the way it is. So everyone dealt with it. Then Dale Earnhardt dies on TV on the Fox contract, first one ever, in the final lap. And they said, whoa, we got to do it. What do we have? Well, we have the Hans device. Boom, mandated. What about open face helmets? Probably should get rid of those things, huh? Yeah, a good idea. Remember, they were legal. And everybody thought it was cool. Like, yeah, man, Earnhardt, look at Earnhardt. Can you imagine a football player out there wearing a leather cap? Right? Man, that guy's so tough. He wears the leather cap when everyone else is wearing the helmets. Man, that's awesome. Or a baseball player wearing his ball cap up there, gets beamed in the forehead, doesn't have a batting helmet on. You can't. It's not possible, but that's what was happening. And they were forced, because of the public outcry and everything that happened, fair, unfair, or otherwise, to advance, and they did, but not totally. Wasn't it just earlier this year and last year we were talking about walls that aren't covered, and there's always one, there's always somewhere, there's always something, and they're not, every time we find one of those walls, we realize that they're not as proactive as they can be. But compared to the NFL, who their guys are killing themselves because of concussions, star, beloved, wealthy guys who their bodies are torn up, of course, they have such problems internally that they are offing themselves. They are beginning to just scratch the surface of this problem. They're not providing health care, and you would know, Gio would know much more than I am about the situation of health care in the NFL. Like, how do they take care of their guys? Like, you played 10 years in the league, and now you're all messed up because you had 27 concussions. What happens to you? Who pays? All of that stuff, I do not know. But I do know this, that the NFL helmet sure looks a lot like it used to look. They got those new ones
with
new
holes.
Some of
them have advanced, and not everybody uses them. It's the same thing.
It's not mandated. It's not a rule. I remember Don Beebe used to have the foam on the top of his helmet, and it always looked a little corny. He had a big, giant head. But how about Tommy with a very serious subject, topic, du jour? And that's what you get on Tommy Time when he does his thing, and Tommy's got his own show, Idiots in a Box and Wheels and Whatever. Tommy went from having no show to 50 shows. Tommy has 50 different shows, and he's promoting them all on Twitter at all times of the day or night. You can follow Tommy Noodles at 4 a.m., and he will be up promoting some sort of show. Wheels in a Winner. He's got Idiots in a Box. He's got Tommy's Favorite Recipe, Tuesdays at midday. He's got everything. This guy is a mogul. You can check him out, but there's only one place you can hear Tommy Time, and that is right here. Now, IndyCar. Robin Miller says it was the worst race of 2013. I think that it was not the most exciting, but the Indy cars are just so much more spectacular on the ovals than they are on the road courses. I know I blew them up a little bit on the show here last week. I get it. I'm a little harsh on IndyCar, and this happens every year. Start off the season with all the road course races, then you see the Indy 500 and say, man, that's what it's supposed to be. That's spectacular. You do a couple of oval races, and then the season goes on, and it's okay. That's the way, that's the pattern. But here's what I see emerging. The championship fight between Marco Andretti and Elio Castroneves. which either or would be great for the sport. Elio, the old guy, he's never won the championship, old being relative, of course. Marco, the superstar, name prodigy, who's never won anything, fighting to cement their legacy. Now, Indy has won, Elio has won three Indy 500s, but he's never won a championship. How could that be? The opposite of Dale Earnhardt. And Marco Andretti has just never won anything, except some individual races. A championship would be huge. And so if that is what is developing, if that's going to be what we see, if they can both keep the momentum going forward, Elio the points leader, Marco is now finished fifth in the race. I guess he's second or third in the standings. That could be very interesting. The Milwaukee Mile is next. Then they'll head to Toronto. But that is interesting, intriguing. I still think they need to turn the wicks up on the cars, and they need to figure it out. But they were very tough to drive in Texas. All the drivers weren't complaining. They were just saying, man, that was hairy. So loose, hairy, scary cars clearly don't make for wonderful side-by-side incredible racing, because there was very little passing in that race, which is a bummer. But Saturday night racing, flipping through the channels, find a little IndyCar action, that's a good thing. All right, when we come back, we'll do some Formula One. We'll do some fantasy results. We're still going to talk topless in Miami and make our picks right here on WFO Radio. But first, who's got a race car out there? Who's looking to make a little horsepower? Who's buying go-fast stuff for your insert vehicle here? Whether it be a dirt track car, a road course car, a drag race car, a personal watercraft, whatever. What makes the power, or at least helps get the air-fuel mixture to the cylinders, is the intake manifold. And our folks at WilsonManifolds.com can really help you out. They have won championships in NASCAR and the NHRA. They have won championships in the NMCA and the MRA and just about every different type of racing out there, including off-road trucks and super boats. They can do it all. They've got great customer service and technical support, but most importantly, they allow folks like yourself out there to receive the same technology and an attention to detail that NASCAR Cup and NHRA Pro Stock teams have come to expect. Great stuff, but listen, there's only so much I can tell you other than go to WilsonManifolds.com and have a look at what they are capable of. 954-771-6216. That's 954-771-6216. From things as small as tapered spacers for carburetors between your carburetor and intake manifold, all the way up to a full sheet metal intake, they can do it all. Check them out. WilsonManifolds.com.
This is WFO Radio. The one, the only, WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
You got to keep on keeping on. It's top fuel drag racing going 330 miles an hour. You never know what can happen, so hang on and we're having fun.
WFORadio.com.
This Father's Day, take Dad to the drag races. The Ford NHRA Thunder Valley Nationals, Father's Day weekend at Bristol Dragway. See John Force and his daughters Courtney and Brittany as they take on the field at drag racing's premier event. Tickets start at just $20, or get a weekend pass for only $79. Get $5 off if you order before June 9th. It's all happening June 14th to 16th at Bristol Dragway. Get your tickets at ThunderValleyTix.com or call 423-BRISTOL.
Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Whether you're a bracket racer who wants to get better or a thrill seeker looking to cross it off your bucket list, Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School can put you on the right track. Don't believe me? Tell him, Frank.
No matter how little or how much experience you have, we've got a program for you. So if driving a dragster is on your bucket list, there's no better time than now. And if you'd like to be a pro, well, here's the newest funny car chap, Jack Beckman.
Hey, this is Jack Beckman. Long before I was Fast Jack, I was a bracket racer who went to the Frank Hawley School. The time I spent there was some of the most exciting, intense, and fulfilling moments ever in a race car. I feel the curriculum Frank developed greatly helped me win not only the Super Comp, but also the NHRA Nitro Funny Car Championship. Frank put me on the right track. What are you waiting for?
Call them at 866-480-7223. That's 866-480-7223. 480-7223 or visit frankhawley.com.
Get fired up on the WFO line.
WFO, Joe.
954-889-6796.
It's just been an absolute joy to be a drag racing fan.
Go wide open and your call may be used on the show.
Or preface by saying I'm not a Kurt Busch fan or apologist. I don't know where Greg Anderson's ego is gone, but I know one person that's going to be a big-time villain in pro stock.
That's 954-889-6796. That phone line is always WFO.
Throughout history, man has marveled at the vast complexity of the universe. Without a single unified voice, humanity has been left searching for answers to the unknown. Now, one man has the power to change that and to spread his voice across the earth for all of mankind to hear. One man.
Hey, this is Dylan Hart Jr., and you're listening to Joe Costello on WFO Radio.
Ignition here on WFO Radio. You got to light up that phone line, 954-889-6796, 954-889-6796. Anytime, day or night, works just like a voicemail. We troll through and see what we find on there. We found some interesting stuff on there. We'll get into it. First, I want to get into the whole Formula One situation. Formula One this week, the Canadian Grand Prix here on North American soil, where soon there will be three races. Now, I'm almost thinking that we should keep the Open exactly as it is until we get the three races. Because David Hobbs is like, to not have a race in North America, to me, is frankly appalling. He told us that here on the show. Now we're about to have three. And the folks in New Jersey they say that they've got a deal for 15 years. Here's the story real quick from PlanetF1.com, which I like. New long-term deal is now in place for the staging of the Grand Prix of America, which I don't like that name. I'm against it.
What's the other one called?
Grand Prix of the Americas. No, it's the Circuit of the Americas. I don't know.
Yeah, it's the United States Grand Prix, I think.
It's the Grand Prix of the United States.
It's way too...
United States Grand Prix. Grand Prix of America. They should have called this one the New York Grand Prix. Even though it's in New Jersey, I guess. Anyway, you can only have so many word of America in Formula One stuff. We got two races. You don't want to confuse them. You got to come up with something a little different. The race was set to make its 2013 debut before Bernie Ecclestone pulled the plug on the initial deal due to the fact that they had not complied with the terms and conditions of the contract. The event ran into financial difficulties, but Ecclestone came to the aid of the organizers and helped them pay off a number of their debts. That paved the way for a new 15-year contract, cementing the Grand Prix's presence on the F1 calendar for the foreseeable future. The race, which runs along the banks of the Hudson River in New Jersey and with the Manhattan skyline as a backdrop, will begin next year in June, taking place after the Canadian Grand Prix. You know when that would be?
This week.
This week! Oh, I'm going. That one we can get to. Austin is a little difficult because Austin is in Texas. It's in the middle of nowhere. You have to, and I'm not offending Texas people. I'm just saying that we would have to fly from Fort Lauderdale or Miami to Houston and drive a long way, or to Dallas and drive a long way.
No, it's much further from Dallas.
And there's not a lot of places to stay. And our great friend Rich Insaugus was there, and he said he had an hour drive each morning to get to the track. And he enjoyed himself, and it was well worth it. But he says it was rough, and it was pricey, and it was difficult. But if you are going from Fort Lauderdale to New York, you can go into Newark, you can go into LaGuardia, you can go anywhere. And, you know, who knows? I could stay with my aunt. Everybody that I know has got a lot of family up there. Not to mention the great King of Nothing from the Yankee Roll Call show, who has friends whose apartments are on the course, like in Monaco. On the course. In fact, the King of Nothing told me just the other day, get this, folks, he says, Joey, you don't understand. When I would be driving to work up that road, I would be saying to myself, this is the perfect road for a racetrack. This is the mountains of Aquina. It's elevation changes. It's up, it's down, it's left, it's right. I was thinking to myself, this is the perfect road. And now there's a Formula One race here. And so it's been built up to be pretty big for me. I'm very excited about it. GPA Executive Chairman and race promoter Leo Hendry Jr. said that the Grand Prix of America at Port Imperial has been a dream of many in the sport for over a decade. We've hoped to be ready for June 2013, but by last fall, autumn, it was clear we would not have been ready. We'd not have long-term capital structure needed to satisfy Formula One readiness. Thanks to the patient, invaluable support of Bernie Ecclestone and Formula One management, we now have a long-term sanctioning agreement in place. And they will start in June 2014. Who's going? I think it sounds spectacular. But we'll see. Of course, this is Formula One, and a lot can happen between now and then. Speaking of Formula One, Canadian Grand Prix. Look, Vettel, guy's good, man. Just signed an extension with Red Bull. So the Vettel to Ferrari rumors have now been squashed. Ferrari, on the other hand, with Fernando Alonso, moves from sixth. They had a qualifying issue, meaning it rained, and the car is not very good in the rain, apparently. We know Fernando's pretty good in the rain, but no better than sixth. Vettel was first. Vettel won the race. Vettel has a 36-point lead, and he's going to need to have some bad luck if anybody is going to catch him. But the good news is this was race 7 of 19. So we're just past a third into the season for all you Ferrari fans out there. Pretty spectacular to come from sixth to second. Lewis Hamilton came home third. And perhaps this is going to be it. Vettel and Alonso. Mano a mano. Right down to the end of the season. But, you know, I don't want to complain or whine. I don't want to be like Jimmy Johnson, whine. But, you know, Vettel hit the wall of champions. But he just grazed it. And kept on going and won the race. Look, at that point, the gods are with you. Because if he goes a half inch further, he's stuffed into the wall. And it's like, you know, watching the basketball playoffs, watching a baseball game, it's literally a game of inches or half inches or quarter inches. One quarter inch more, he's stuffed into the wall of champions. Alonso wins the race. But he doesn't. He keeps on going and wins the race.
Well, maybe that's why he's a three-time champion.
But at some point, luck comes into play, and for a guy to win four titles and have everything go his way is just unbelievable. It's happening. I'm watching it,
well,
and appreciating it.
It's just that. It's when luck and greatness
combine
and meet, you get this kind of dominance. You get Jimmy Johnson winning five in a row.
Yes, and that's what we're watching. And Vettel to win four in a row. Red Bull is clearly superior. They have taken it to everybody. They're Adrian Newey, everybody involved, and Vettel is the best of the best. And look at this guy. Now, you know, if Fernando Alonso was driving that car, would he have won three or four championships in a row? Who knows? But that's not what's happening. But I still think Alonso is going to beat him for the title, and I think that's going to make the title that much more special this year. Speaking of titles, let's get into the WFO fantasy results. Week 14. Oh, boy. Look at this. Look at this. The weekly winner in WFO Radio's Fantasy League, Eat My Dust, 322 points. You know who that is, right?
Nope.
That's Mrs. Moneyman.
Oh, I did not know.
Yeah, I told you that last week, Mrs. Moneyman. I even made the big joke about he was saying negative things about her, and they got no response. I think Moneyman is still nursing that hole through his leg. Pavlov's Dogs was second. Lady Oz, third. Big Mike, fourth. The Republicans, fifth. They're coming on strong. Money Man, sixth. Oh, there it is. The Rumblers, sixth. The Rumblers. The Rumblers are one of the worst teams in the league. Where are they? They're dead last. Oh, yeah, but they're starting. They're started out. They're coming on. They're going to pass Hello, Bob Smith real soon. Hello, Bob Smith.
Yeah, the Rumblers just started like 3 weeks ago.
Yes. Uper 13, WFO was 6th, Kramer Power 9th, Night Kids and Super Trucker tied for 10th. Biggest gainer, most points, Eat My Dust, 322. Biggest gainer, up 12, Kramer Power and the Night Kids, tied 12 positions. Biggest losers, Car Acrobatic Team, down 13 positions, and Big Bad Don's Thunderstorms. Here's the overall lead. Black Ice continues to lead, but just by 209 points. So Black Ice lost a lot of ground to Millerman, to Brian. Maybe it was that crazy call.
Maybe it was Brian was giving him the business.
Maybe.
Black Ice couldn't hack it.
What did Black Ice score? What did he do? Did he lose the overall lead? What's going on?
I wish I could tell you, but the fantasy thing now only shows me the leaderboard overall for summer.
You can't go back?
I haven't. Maybe someone out there knows how to do it. I have not been able to figure out how. So the overall leaderboard just says Laker Hater is tied with 10 others with 338 points for the summer. But that's just this week.
Boo. Overall, Black Ice continues to lead the VIP WFO League. Millerman 2 Brian is second, 209 back. Eat My Dust is now third. Team 14 is fourth. Los Chincones, fifth. Finish Line Racing, sixth. Aviator Racing, seventh. Big Mike Racing, eighth. Brian Louisiana, ninth. Rich and Saugus, tenth. Now, let's see.
Ooh, all right, I have discovered.
Let's hear it.
Black Ice has lost the overall lead. He has dropped to fifth.
What?
Some guy named What Up Bob.
What?
Is the new overall leader with 42.04. Black Ice has 41.56, so he's about 48 points behind.
He's still in it.
He's definitely still in it, but he's fifth now. He had four guys come over the top. Well, he had a really bad week. If you see, he only scored about 100 points or something.
What?
Clearly, you haven't mentioned him in our weekly rundown.
No. Well, he's just first. You know, I don't have that.
Right, he's first overall.
Wow.
But yeah, he had a bad week.
Black Ice, the wheels coming off.
Yeah, he came back to the pack a little. Paul Menard and AJ Allmendinger gave it to him, gave him the business.
Wow. Well, yeah, that's.
And so he scored 198 points and he dropped from the overall lead, but he is still fifth overall. I mean, I think we got a little ahead of ourselves, you know, proclaiming that he should be number one overall amongst the millions and millions and gazillions and trillions of
hundreds of thousands of people. Well, let's see. The Man in Brown is 15th. Dirty Hippies is 18th, down four. Interesting. NAR is 22nd. Patrick's NASCAR Rubbin just plummeting, Patrick. What's going on? 24th now. Remember when Patrick was in the top 10?
Yeah, he used to write little notes, emails, and brag.
They've disappeared. Hockey Kid is 26th. What's up, Hockey Kid? Tom's Sweet Cat is down 1 to 29th. Gray Bear Racing up 1 to 30th. Certified Racing down 4. Noodles Motorsports up 7. Clearside, holding firm at 35th. Let's see. Super Trucker, Night Kids, WFO Joe down 2. But ahead of Geo Racing, 49th. And Car Acrobatic Team and the Money Man dominating you guys. But we're in a tight pack. But I think that is interesting. Now, I did get a phone call about the Fantasy League, and I think it is kind of interesting, a challenge, a driver-versus-driver challenge to our WFO line, 954-889-6796. Let's give a listen.
Hey, WFO, Joe, Gio, how's it going, guys? It's Fernando Loaiza from Los Chingones calling from Tucson, Arizona. Hey, guys, just giving my 2 cents here as to what that noise was behind Millerman 2 Brian's call last week.
You remember that? That's great. Tapping? Like, I don't know what it was, but it was just something ridiculous.
The way he's been performing in Fantasy League, I'd have to say, you know, he's up to something. I'd have to say he is doing, or he's got a number crunching machine back there. You know, he puts in all the information that the driver starts, at the certain track, probably even down to what fire suit he's wearing. I mean, you know, it just sounds like a hardcore machine gun, you know. But again, just my opinion. Also, one other thing that is kind of bugging me lately. I have a friendly. I don't know about friendly. I had a chat with Rudy, the UPS guy, the Man in Brown. And it was discussing the challenge as to, in the fantasy league, as to having our names on the line, as to who has the better finish in the season, loses their name for the year.
Now, everybody remembers that. The challenge was thrown down. It happened driver for driver. And friends, you know, whoever finishes higher, the loser, basically loses their team name. And I know Rudy's been the man in brown for a lot of years, and he brought in Fernando here into the show, into the club, into the secret society of WFO. And now Lo is like, hey, let's go toe-to-toe, and the loser loses his name. And I guess Rudy is not into the idea. He doesn't like it. And I think I understand why, which I think we just read the scores. And, of course, now's the perfect time. But those are the breaks. Let's continue to hear what he says.
I'm calling him out. On the line worldwide here. Man in brown, what do you got? Let's put our names on the line at least for 1 year. We have to change our names, and it could be whatever the other person decides. You know what? How about this? I'll even leave it up to you guys, Joe, Gio, even the listeners out there. What do you guys think? What do you guys think? Should we put our names on the line? Should the man in brown man up and put his name on the line? I don't know. That's pretty much all I got to say. It's just been bugging me lately, and ain't going nowhere with side conversations with the man in brown in person. So calling you out, man in brown. Later, guys. WFO.
Wow. I think that there's obviously a rift in the relationship. The friendship has been torn apart by the WFO Fantasy League. That's obvious to me, number one. Number two, the current points standing of Los Jincones is fifth overall with 3,817 points. And the man in brown is 10 positions back in 15th, 3,668 points.
About 150 points.
Still very close. Second of all, I think we're the ones that get to decide this. And here's what I propose. Loser gets to chop or has to chop off their pinky finger.
Ooh, I like that one better than changing the names.
Yeah, the changing the names is very
seems kind of
mild.
Yeah, wimpy compared
yes.
to that one.
We got to ramp it up.
What, did you watch Four Rooms recently or something?
Pinky finger. And the winner gets to hold the hand down. How about that? All right, that's clearly not going to happen. The losing the names, I think it's happening. It's not even a decision. Gio, is it had like we're in the Roman Coliseum, thumbs
the
up,
the only
thumbs
issue
down?
I have with it, it's a third of the way into the season before he's bringing this out, and he's got a 150-point lead on the guy.
You know that can be erased.
I do, and I totally understand it. But this is the kind of stuff that you kind of put out there when it's close.
This has been percolating for five races now.
So that's all I'm saying. Okay.
So give me the thumbs up or thumbs down. Are they going for names or what? It's like pink slips, man. Are they going for names or what?
I'm all for it, but if one guy doesn't want to participate, like who are we to make him join in on this changing his name? He's the man in brown. He doesn't want to put his name up.
You know, you're right. But you're just killing the bit, though. See, there's something else on my mind regarding this whole situation. This totally different, which I want to attack from a totally different angle. You know, Lo is a friend of the WFO Radio Facebook page, and so when I see somebody that I know, I click their page. And occasionally they like stuff and they comment on there. So I clicked on Fernando's page.
Okay.
And again, this is totally out of left field, but when Fernando called in, this is the first thing that entered my mind. It's like as much as it's like, hey, we got a call, Fantasy League, they're going to run for pinks, except they're going to run for names. I like it. That's not what I was thinking about. I was thinking about, and this is with all respect, this is extreme respect, total respect, a lot of respect, all kinds of respect coming
at you. You're about to bash someone if you're respecting
them
this
much. No, I'm
not.
It's exactly the opposite. Let me bring up my Facebook page. Stand by.
Yeah, it's like, with all due respect, bam!
Well, yeah. Well, no, the picture has been changed.
Oh!
Ooh. Oh, here it is. Well, Fernando seems like a great family guy and everything, and let's just put it this way. He has done exceptionally well for himself with his either special lady or bride-to-be or mother of his child.
Wife or girlfriend or whatever.
I don't know. But, man, this guy has done fantastic for himself. That's what I was thinking.
He hit one out of the park.
Total.
He outkicked the coverage.
Mickey Mantle. Like, he sounds cool on the air.
No. It's not Mickey Mantle anymore. Now it's that Yasiel Puig guy.
What? I can't use the Mickey Mantle reference anymore?
No, man. He's so 1960s, man. We have a new all-star in baseball now, a new phenom coming up. He's been in the league for about a week, and he's the next Mickey Mantle. His name is Yasiel Puig. He plays for the Dodgers out west. You guys out there know him. You've seen him. Clearly, you haven't been watching baseball for a week.
Listen, I think it's some sort of sacrilegious thing. I think what you're saying right now is going to be called into the Yankee roll call court. I think.
But you haven't, clearly you haven't watched anything else other than racing for a week.
No.
I
did not hear. I heard this guy's name. Someone is doing a scouting. There was a scouting interview that happened, I think, on one of the shows. They were talking about scout. Where did they find this guy? So I kind of heard something. But I'm just like, I can't use the Mickey Mantle reference anymore.
It was a joke that everybody's saying that he's the next Mickey Mantle now after a week. And so that's why.
How many home runs does he have?
4 in 10 games.
Wow.
He's got a home run for the cycle. Like
he hit for the cycle?
He hit home run cycle. Like one with a man on, two men on, and a bases loaded home run, and one with nobody on.
Wow.
He's got a home run cycle in a week.
This guy's the next Mickey Mantle.
Right. There you go. Sorry.
Well, but I'm still using my Mickey
Mantle. But if I had to explain it, clearly it wasn't that funny. So.
Well, listen, I just get very sensitive.
But the kid's the real deal, and he got hit in the face yesterday.
Anything Mickey Mantle, you know, Yankee fans are not supposed to be saying, hey, let's not use the Mickey Mantle home run reference anymore and replace him with a guy from the Dodgers. Like, traditionally, Yankee fans aren't allowed to say that
kind
of stuff.
I don't think that's the whole point. You clearly didn't catch what I was saying.
No, I didn't get the joke.
That's it. So it doesn't matter. Well, it just wasn't that funny.
Guess not.
Must have been about 6 foot tall.
Yeah.
It could have been 5'8" for you.
Yeah. Let's go with the Hippie Tippy.
This is the Dirty Hippies with your tip of the week. Looks like Team Red Bull is off and running once again. They dominated last week. Kicked the crap out of Ferrari once again. Vettel signs an extension. All I've been hearing about from you two clowns is that Vettel is going to sign with Ferrari. It looks like that's not going to happen. Just it was wishful thinking. I mean, it's like a top football recruit signing with Yale. This is not 1946, okay? It's 2013. Red Bull is it. Alonso will be coming to Red Bull in the next couple of years. Just face the facts. This week, we're going to Michigan. Big track, big power. Toyota can't seem to figure out their problems with the engine. They're going to add some more. This race always turns out to be a fuel mileage race. So even if they're going to have some power, I mean, it's big risk, big reward. I would stay clear of them. I think the big winner this week is going to be Brad Keselowski. He always seems to come through on the fuel mileage tracks. He's the guy you need to pick. Dirty Hippies, tip of the week, continue not to pick with Gio. Thank you.
Well, there it is. Rich York attacking Gio once again.
I wouldn't say it's attacking. I think he's just pointing out the obvious. As if you look at the standings, don't pick whoever Gio suggests.
That's one thing that you can rely on, at least on this show, consistency, is that Rich will always attack Giovanni. All right. When we come back, now that we've gotten the Fantasy League out of the way, we're going to talk a little bit about these convertible cars we got to drive, and then we'll make our picks. And that'll be that on this edition of WFO Radio.
This is WFO Radio.
This Father's Day, take Dad to the drag races. The Ford NHRA Thunder Valley Nationals. Father's Day weekend at Bristol Dragway. See John Force and his daughters Courtney and Brittany as they take on the field at drag racing's premier event. Tickets start at just $20 or get a weekend pass for only $79. Get $5 off if you order before June 9th. It's all happening June 14th to 16th at Bristol Dragway. Get your tickets at ThundervalleyTix.com or call 423-BRISTOL.
Hey, this is Joe Costello, and we'll be back to the show in a second. But first, I want to tell you about CompetitionPlus.com. There's a reason CompetitionPlus.com is the leader among drag racing electronic magazines. Their trained staff is always on alert and always asking the tough questions. The end result is hard-hitting drag racing journalism with up-to-the-minute reporting. For over a decade, CompetitionPlus.com has been a pioneer as drag racing's go-to source for the latest in news, race coverage, and high-quality photography. Their trained staff thrives on getting the inside stories, and their columnists study their topics before they hit their first keystroke. When it comes to covering the races, they leave you feeling as if you've actually been to the race. CompetitionPlus.com is an honest-to-goodness, free drag racing magazine, published by the most passionate of drag racing fans, who just happen to be journalists. Don't wonder what's going on in the drag racing world. Be in the know daily. Log on to CompetitionPlus.com.
Android. Android.
WFO Radio is now available on Android.
You know, I get goosebumps just thinking of what you're saying.
You get the same award-winning motorsports entertainment that iPhone users have downloaded over 25,000 times.
You know, sometimes you just got to pinch yourself.
They couldn't make this happen.
Ignition. NHRA Nitro. NASCAR coverage. Videos. Push notifications. The WFO Radio NASCAR Tailgate Party Pick Show and more.
It's a whole different game.
The WFO Radio app is a must for any racing fan. The ultimate racing show. Sports radio for racing fans. It's in your pocket right now.
I'm going to scream.
Search WFO Radio and download it now.
I like it. It's exciting for me, and I know it's exciting for the fans.
Download it now.
WFO.
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 WFO. WFO. Oh.
Totally nonstop WFO, baby.
Here's your host, Joe Costello.
WFO! WFO Radio this past week on Key Biscayne at the Ritz-Carlton, the Southern Automotive Media Association got together for their third annual Topless in Miami convertible test drive. Members of the local media got to test drive a Ford Mustang GT, a Smart EV, a Nissan 370Z Roadster, the Infiniti G37, Chrysler 200 convertible, Jeep Wrangler, Fiat Abarth, Mazda MX-5, Audi RS Cabrio, the Beetle convertible, Mercedes-Benz E-Class, the SLS AMG, the Chevrolet Camaro, the Jaguar XKR, Porsche 911, Carrera S, BMW M3, the BMW 135iS. We're all in attendance, and joining me there were Carlos Hockenstuff and Giovanni in Miami. Guys, welcome back to the show.
Well, all right.
What's today, Joe? What's today?
Well, people listen to the show on multiple days, but it is hump day.
You
Carlos,
gotta,
he loves
you
the commercial with the camel. I did it right.
Hump day, yeah.
All the Wednesday people out there.
We didn't get to drive the Velociter.
It wasn't available to drive. It was just a show car.
It was just a show car, the Hyundai Velociter C3, which they had cut the roof off. But first of all, general impressions of the event. Manufacturers are bringing their cars out. Folks, if you're interested in a convertible this summer, I would say there are more on the market now than maybe ever before, and better quality ones. There is something for everyone if
in
you
every
want a
price range.
Every single price range.
It seems to be a thing that they want. At least every car company has a convertible in their lineup.
They have
They have to have one. Because the sunroof thing is kind of like standard on almost every car now.
I have a sunroof. I never thought I would like it. I love it. I could not be without it. I could not have a car without a sunroof, at least for my fun cruise around victory car. Got to have a sunroof. It's just a great experience.
Not a big sunroof guy.
Well, that's because you haven't driven around with one open and the victory car and all of that. So, all right, I would say first impressions, which cars did you guys like the best? Carlos, first off, what stuck out in your mind? I know I have my picks for overall, and the Porsche 911 Carrera S was the overall winner of the balloting at the Ritz-Carlton by the Southern Automotive Media Association. But what stood out in your mind?
The Infiniti was still the coolest car that we were in.
G37, yeah. IPL convertible.
I totally dug the Infiniti.
That was a fantastic car, and I wouldn't consider myself like an Infiniti guy, but I was thinking Sebastian Vettel when I was in there, and I even asked. I was like, did Vettel have anything to do with this? And they're like, no. But it was. It was.
I'm right there with you. Like, I'm not an Infiniti guy either. But the hard top, the inside, the interior was really cool. The seats hugged you. You could move to move them around and put yourself in position was quick and simple. And plus the power on that car. I think that's one of the few cars that wasn't governed. So, like, when you stepped on it, you actually stepped on it, and it was actually going.
It was very quick. It was very fast. And that's one thing, folks, that some of the cars felt like they were governed for a media event, perhaps. Now, no one confirmed that officially, and I didn't ask that, but the BMW M3 in particular, it just really felt like it was restricted.
Right, yeah.
It just
Like if it was on the chip.
Like it was just not quite.
But not the Infiniti. The Infiniti went, whoo.
The car was very, very impressive. And you can open up in a browser and check these out. And what about you, Giovanni?
You also said that if you're talking about a convertible and the more quality convertible that you would want the hardtop. Because the hard top, like when that sucker came down, man, it was, one, it looked really cool, and two, it's like you're in your normal car.
The hard top convertible aspect of any convertible for me is a game changer. Because I immediately think about, first of all, I'm not like a rich person, not that you have to be, but I think of theft. I think of people cutting your convertible top. It's just something I grew up with.
Not even theft, just vandalism.
Vandalism, theft, someone putting a knife through it, through a convertible. I always think of that. I don't know why. Growing up paranoid in South Florida, does it happen? I don't know. But I always think about a ripped convertible top. And so I've never considered myself a convertible guy. But a hardtop convertible is something I would certainly do. And this had one, and it was awesome. They've got the balance of the car right. It looks great. Giovanni, what stood out in your mind?
I mean, I know it was one of the higher-end cars, but the Benz SLS. I really like the way they – overall, the look and the feel, and you give it the gas, it goes. What a car.
Huge power.
Huge power.
Massive power.
But
and
like I said, it is one of the high-end cars.
Which I – so people understand in terms of my balloting, I discredit those cars. Because if you're going to be $200,000, of course you're going to be amazing. It's
right.
going to be an orgasmic experience for anyone to drive.
Well, even the base, the lowest level of Benz is still going to have pop to it. Like it's not going to be a slow car.
Yes, but the SLS right. AMG right. is not of this world.
But no.
Of the regular cars, the Camaro and the Mustang.
Yes.
How can you go wrong with the Camaro and the Mustang? Both of those, both of them convertible. And they were just great. They're stunning to look at. And when you get in that convertible right there in the key, everybody's checking you out. You are in a Camaro or in a Mustang, it doesn't matter if you're short, fat, and ugly like us three. Everyone was looking at us.
I don't know what you're talking about. I'm beautiful, baby.
Well, wait, is it?
That's what your mom tells you.
Bro. I'm the short guy, right?
No, you know, this is like the good, the bad, and the ugly. We're all short, fat, and ugly.
Oh, all right. Because I thought I was one of us was each one. I was short, Carlos is fat, and that means you're the ugly guy.
That's great. That's fine. But the reality is that these cars attract a lot of attention.
Well, the whole event attracts a lot of attention because everyone is making laps in these convertible cars. But I agree. I'm going to make a statement that I don't know if it's true or not. You do that all the time on the radio. Convertible, driving, hitting the road, hitting the highway, and you're top-down Mustang. Like, isn't that kind of like an American thing? Isn't that?
Yeah.
I don't want to take credit for inventing, like,
going
the car.
Going down Route 66 with the top-down. That's Americana.
We didn't invent the car, but we certainly invented the convertible
experience. We did invent the car. It was an American, Henry Ford.
No, see, he did not
invent
the car.
No, I know. He invented the mass production of
exactly.
the car.
Exactly. Well, he made the car affordable to the masses, which is why he should be celebrated, and exactly the reason why I don't vote for the SLS as the overall best thing, because it's not
right, because it's a $100,000 and up car. It's not for everyone.
It's not something that a normal human being can enjoy.
But a normal guy can get himself the Camaro, or like you and I were talking about this, that you can get when you were talking about the Abarth, and the Abarth was almost the same price as the Mustang. And it's like, I could get the Mustang and look just as hot as you do in your stylish car, and I still have a car that's got some balls to it.
The Mustang is considerably more expensive, at least $10,000 more than the Abarth. That's important.
Base model?
Yeah. Yeah, that's important. Convertible is not a base model, first of all. There's no such thing as a base model convertible because convertible is not a base model. But that having – and the Abarth is not a base model in and of itself. It's a performance edition of the Fiat. But just the fact that we're comparing a Fiat 500 and a Mustang, I think, is against the law. We should not do that.
But that's what they were talking about. They were saying it was a performance car.
It is, you know what I mean?
But
everything
keep
is relative.
It's
relative performance car. Now, that Abarth might beat the Ford Mustang convertible on like a really tight little road course.
Right.
Or in a mall.
Like
but anywhere Brothers. That the legs can be stretched, that will be it. Now, the Abarth was very impressive to me. I like that car.
Do you really consider it a convertible?
Yes.
We had this argument.
But No, I like it. I like the whole shooting match. I think it's cool. I like the sound. I think it's very different. It's a departure from traditional what we would see. It's
as
very
a hot
European.
Car, yes.
It's a hot car. It's stylish. The ad campaign, the commercial, the Scorpion, all of it. But Giovanni, who went on the test drive with me in the Fiat, pointed out that you would be winding it a lot to experience that we just described. You have to really wind it out. And that's...
Right, that I would feel that I would be hard on the equipment in that vehicle in order for it to be a performance car.
Right,
because
right.
It's smaller, and so you got to be harder on it to do what you would want to do from a car that's a little bigger with a bigger engine. It's not working as hard.
The whole point is the exhaust node, and you want to feel that performance. Well, okay, if you want to feel the performance, you got to step on the pedal. And you're really going to lean on that car to enjoy it. That's what makes it fun, is that you're all over it. And that's not necessarily what makes a Mustang fun or a Camaro fun.
Would you buy that car?
Would I buy a Fiat Abarth convertible? Yeah. No.
Okay.
This is me. I get to buy like one car every 10 years.
Right.
So no. But
right. It wouldn't be my primary car. But if I needed like a little golf cart kind of car to go around the neighborhood
definitely.
And maybe just go pick up
in
some
a heartbeat.
Okay, then
some
yeah, if we're talking in a perfect world,
I would
then
definitely,
I did, yeah,
where I'm knocking
that.
Down, you know, 300K a year, and I can
when you
go
make
buy
that
a
argument, then
car.
Sure,
yeah.
It's a kooky cool little car, like I dig it.
Yeah. And it's fun and it's fast and it's cool and it's the interior was nice and there's
it's
a
economical
reasons.
Compared to a
it's
you know,
very
a V8 economical. Sports car,
but. It is what it is. I spent a little time in the Mazda Miata X5. That's like the real driver's car. All these workhorse SCCA guys love it. I can see why. I totally get it.
You brought up the Abarth. You didn't bring up the smart car. Because you gave me a phone call like halfway through the day.
Guys,
Listen. I was in the smart car.
Listen.
This sucker's flying.
No joke. If there was one car that I wished, because Gio didn't get to drive as many cars as Carlos got to drive, and Carlos didn't get to drive as many cars as I got to drive, and I didn't get to drive every single car because some cars were just so popular to drive that they were out all day. And at some point, you're just roasted from the sun because you're in convertibles.
And that was a particularly hot day.
And some people were not smart enough to wear sunscreen.
Yeah.
I won't say who they are. But if there was one car that I could have each of you drive just to do it, it would be the smart EV convertible.
You were loving that thing.
Yes. Because when I drive one of these cars, I look to be, shocked or impressed. Not shocked literally, folks, because it is an electric vehicle. But I kind of have a general idea of what I'm going to get into, like the Nissan 370Z, which won its class, incidentally. I got in it, and I felt like I like the shifter, but the car always feels a little heavy to me. And if I'm going to choose a sport or muscle style convertible, I'm going Mustang Camaro light years ahead of the Nissan 370Z, just the way it is. It's got more torque for cruising with the top down. Am I running a road course? Then I don't have a convertible.
No.
If I am running a road course, I have got a hard top because I need structural rigidity. If I am cruising, I want to have torque and I want to have the top down. And that's what's up. This smart EV, I don't want to spend too much time talking about it because it's just too crazy. I'm the only one who got to experience it. You guys are not going to believe me. Compared to the regular smart, you understand?
Yeah.
It's a billion times better.
Because it's electric.
Because it has instantaneous torque. You remember last year, we were stopped at a stoplight, I hammered the gas, and it did not go. And then it started to go, and I had to bail. I had to hit the brake because more traffic was coming. This thing was exactly the opposite. I think it would out-accelerate a lot of the cars that were there to like 50 miles an hour. So from 0 to 50, because it weighs nothing. You understand? It weighs nothing. The interior was kind of interesting. The top was down. It weighs nothing with some sort of electric engine, power motor. And so it accelerated extremely hard. And then when you jump on the brakes, remember, the thing, what's it weigh? 1,000 pounds? I have no idea. It was very, very surprising. That's all I'm going to say about the smart EV, because it's the kind of thing that you'd have to drive to understand. Like,
it's like
whoa.
The Matrix, you have to experience it.
Yes. Yes. Now, Joe, would you buy one? No.
even to be the economical, like driving around, you know, your local area type of deal? As opposed to the Abarth.
No, I'll tell you personally.
I have no idea how much it costs. I have no idea. But that's what it's perfect for. That is what it is perfect for, to go from here to
the Abarth. You and I were talking about it.
But I would be afraid to go out on the street.
Right.
Like, yeah,
we were talking about it. You would never take this thing on the highway. Like, you'd be terrified.
But to the grocery store, to Publix.
Yeah.
To get on a big highway, probably not.
Oof.
Because I know it's extremely safe every time you talk to them.
Even to be honest with you, go to the grocery store. I don't know about you, but I always come back with a whole bunch of bags. I don't know that they'll fit in that car.
Yeah.
You're not going to Costco with it.
No, I'm definitely not going to Costco.
Does it have a trunk?
Does it have a trunk area?
Dude, you saw that thing. It is what it is.
It's got some space. Not a lot. The Jeep Wrangler I was in, the flip-flop of cars, I thought it was very nice.
See,
you know, it's a Jeep.
Analogy.
I'm not a big Jeep guy, but I thought it was very nice. Cars that were also surprising, the Chrysler 200, hardtop convertible. Overall exterior design, if you want a convertible, hardtop convertible for a reasonable price that when you're in it, you feel really nice and luxurious because they've improved the car a lot and it handles well and performed fine, eyeball it. Check it out. I'm with Carlos. I really like the G37. Of course, the Mustang and Camaro were right along my favorites. For this reason, the RS5 Cabrio Audi, which was one of my least favorites.
Really? I like the RS5. I didn't have a problem with it. I like Audis. And I like that particular Audi.
I don't know, man. Maybe I'm not connecting with the whole Audi thing. The Mercedes-Benz E550.
You and I both had a problem with that car.
Well, it was a very, very hot day in a black car with a black interior, and it has eco start-stop, and as soon as it stopped, the air would get 3 degrees warmer.
Like it would stop, the chill factor of the AC would stop, and you're just getting air.
It was assured to me that this was a pre-production model that was just here for our demonstration, and that will not be the case in the production model, which I am fine by. But black car, black interior, top down, hot sunny day, you're stopped at a light, and the air conditioner goes from 60 to 65 degrees, whatever it was, you notice. And we noticed.
And it's mostly like a big daddy car. Like it's like an older guy car. But like every single Mercedes, it's still got a lot of teeth to it. So
absolutely. The BMW M3, I found it to be extremely frustrating.
Yeah.
Extremely frustrating because it's clearly not designed for cruising at 30 miles an hour on Key Biscayne. It's just not.
It was clunky to get into. The interior was kind of...
I didn't think it was clunky to get into. I felt like I was in a race car. The iDrive was a joystick.
Right.
I felt like I was in a fighter plane. But you can only go 30 miles an hour. There's cops everywhere, 30, 40, 50 at one point. The car was not capable of stretching its legs. Of all the cars, it felt the most governed. It was obviously a beautiful car, but I just felt like the driving experience that we got was...
You like the other Beaver that we were...
I loved the BMW 135 IS. I loved it. I voted for it as my favorite.
Really?
Yeah, I did. And I'll tell you why. Number one, I can't vote for the Camaro and the Mustang every single year. Because I've already got a label as the American car homer guy, which is...
What about the Infiniti? The G37?
I actually like the 135 IS better. It was less expensive. It was had better power to weight. It was a nice car, handled great. It had everything. And I tested my theory with a bunch of people, and they said that if they were going to purchase one of these convertibles, they all told me that the 135 IS is what they would purchase because it was the best bang for the buck. And it was pretty cool looking, too.
It's very nice visually.
It's not huge.
No, it's very comparable to the M series, the way it looked. Its own little built-in spoiler kit and everything.
Yeah, less mass. And let me tell you, it really was perfect for what we were doing. Top down, you're cruising, but you want to have a little fun. Like the compromise car of all of the things that we have said here, you want to be able to hot rod a little bit, but you don't want to have to destroy the car winding it out. You want to have a little bling factor, but you want to be able to cruise super nice and be super convertible and comfortable and all of these things, but not too confusing like you need a pilot's license to drive it. I voted 135 IS.
Well, there you have it.
But that's only because I voted Camaro and Mustang and Mustang and Camaro each of the past couple of years. And, in my opinion, the manufacturers, General Motors and Ford, made the classic mistake, and I will reveal it right now to both of you and to the audience and everyone that is listening, if you are going to do a car test drive with reporters, it is mandatory that you provide a manual transmission. Because if these people, myself included, really are passionate about driving and want to experience the car in its true form and nature, it has to be a manual transmission. And if you are that guy and you're comparing two cars and one is a manual and one is an automatic, the manual is always going to beat the automatic. Always. Because it is a lesser experience. And you guys have both driven automatics compared to a manual. And you know you're disconnected in the automatic. You're disconnected. You're like floating and, you know, it's moving. But you're not connected to the experience. You're not making it happen.
No, you're driving a little more when you're actually shifting the gears yourself manually.
Feel it.
Yeah.
And the Nissan 370Z was a manual transmission, and the Camaro and the Mustang. Put it this way. In conclusion, 2 years ago or 3 years ago, it was a red Ford Mustang convertible.
Ooh, that was
yeah.
Were you there for that?
Yeah. We
Gio was
yes,
there for that.
I recall.
I still remember what it was like to drive that car till right now. Like, I remember it was a six-speed.
It was like a wine-colored.
And it was, the interior was white and red, and it was one of the best driving experiences I'd ever had. Well, like, I looked forward to that. And in fact, when I saw the Mustang, I went up and I looked inside to see what kind of transmission they had provided, and it was an automatic, and I felt disappointed.
There was only two of them there that was manual, wasn't it? To this year? That 370, and it was another one.
Well, the Fiat was manual.
Okay.
The Mazda Miata was manual.
We drove another one that was the paddle shifters.
Yeah. The Volkswagen,
Yeah, but was that an interchangeable one? Like, you can go from manual to automatic?
It did not have a clutch.
Uh-uh.
These cars all had a clutch. The Volkswagen Beetle, just want to mention it. It was cool.
It's a Beetle. You can't really go wrong with
it. Yeah, it was cool. You got it. Same thing, though. You got to really wind it out to get the fun, to find the fun. You got to wind it out. You got to push the pedal down real hard.
Because you know what? I don't think of the Beetle as a speedy car. I think it's kind of like you lay back, you sit back with your surfboard in the back, you just drive that bad boy.
Except guess what? Like, this is me. Every car at some level has got to be a speedy car. I mean, you know, you like speed. Doesn't matter what you're in. You can feel a little acceleration and deceleration.
The Beetle is a coasting car, man. It's not for that.
To make it coast, you had to give it some throttle, man. Yeah.
Okay.
But it was still nice. Very nice. So anyway, there you go. A general review of the 2013 Topless in Miami Southern Automotive Media Association event that we attended. Some pictures have been posted.
By the way, the Hyundai Veloster C3 looked cool as all hell. I mean, granted, we didn't get to drive because it was a show car, but it was a really cool looking car.
You are loving this Veloster.
I was totally digging it. There's a Hyundai
that it matched the bike that was it.
That was cool
in the back, and the rims had those special colors.
They
like
sold
the
them on it.
It just had a totally cool look to it. I totally dug it. If this is something that you're seriously thinking of possibly making in the future, this would be like a cool ride.
They
like
custom totally built that down in this area for this event, and it was pretty cool.
Yeah,
I will say that.
That's
they
a total Miami,
definitely
the beach
a looker.
Type of car. Yeah.
Definitely a look.
Well, listen, Hyundai has done a great job over the past couple of years with everything they're introducing. And that new Kia commercial with that hot girl that I didn't notice her in high school, smoking. You guys don't know what I'm talking about, but you soon will. It's a commercial that's out there for this new Kia car, which it's their new, like, luxury car. And it's got a
I have seen it.
Look, here's how you sell.
Kia has a luxury car?
Smoking hot girl going to her high school reunion, and she looks better than everybody because she's in a Kia. But not really. She looks better than everybody because she's in a tiny little mini dress, and it's all out, everything. All right, there you go. I think it was very cool. Now, when we come back, we're going to make our picks for this weekend's NASCAR action in Michigan.
This is WFO Radio.
This Father's Day, take Dad to the drag races. The Ford NHRA Thunder Valley Nationals. Father's Day weekend at Bristol Dragway. See John Force and his daughters Courtney and Brittany as they take on the field at drag racing's premier event. Tickets start at just $20 or get a weekend pass for only $79. Get $5 off if you order before June 9th. It's all happening June 14th to 16th at Bristol Dragway. Get your tickets at ThunderValleyTix.com or call 423-BRISTOL.
Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Whether you're a bracket racer who wants to get better or a thrill seeker looking to cross it off your bucket list, Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School can put you on the right track. Don't believe me? Tell him, Frank.
No matter how little or how much experience you have, we've got a program for you. So if driving a dragster is on your bucket list, there's no better time than now. And if you'd like to be a pro, well, here's the newest funny car chap, Jack Beckman.
Hey, this is Jack Beckman. Long before I was Fast Jack, I was a bracket racer who went to the Frank Hawley School. The time I spent there was some of the most exciting, intense, and fulfilling moments ever in a race car. I feel the curriculum Frank developed greatly helped me win not only the Super Comp, but also the NHRA Nitro Funny Car Championship. Frank put me on the right track. What are you waiting for?
Call them at 866-480-7223. That's 866-480-7223. Or visit frankhawley.com.
Android. WFO Radio is now available on Android.
You know, I get goosebumps just thinking of what you're saying.
You get the same award-winning motorsports entertainment that iPhone users have downloaded over 25,000 times.
You know, sometimes you just got to pinch yourself.
They couldn't make this happen.
Ignition. NHRA Nitro. NASCAR coverage. Video. Push notifications. The WFO Radio NASCAR Tailgate Party Pick Show and more.
It's a whole different game.
The WFO Radio app is a must for any racing fan. The ultimate racing show. Sports radio for racing fans. It's in your pocket right now.
I'm going to scream.
Search WFO Radio and download it now.
I like it. It's exciting for me, and I know it's exciting for the fans.
Download it now.
WFO.
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 Totally nonstop WFO, baby.
Here's your host, Joe Costello.
WFO.
Take me to the action, take me to the track, take me to a party if they're betting in the back. I've been working all my life, can't afford to wait. Let me call my wife so I can tell her I've been late. I want to ease
it. Vegas, baby, Vegas! Vegas, baby, Vegas. It's that time of week where the WFO Radio NASCAR Tailgate Party Vegas Picks Handicappers make our picks, and I pick another winner. Myself, Bob Smith from Las Vegas, Giovanni in Miami, and comedian Tommy Noodles will break down the odds and make our picks for the 2013 Quicken Loans 400 in Brooklyn, Michigan. MIS, Michigan International Speedway. Now, before we get into this week's odds as seen by the folks at William Hill, Giovanni will give us a quick breakdown on who has picked the winners most recently and the most recent winners picked. Giovanni.
Well, I would have to say that Joe picked the most recent winner.
Ah, yeah.
Joe picked two in a row, back-to-back, and four out of the last 5 weeks.
Going for the Tomstradamus this week.
So there you have it.
Three in
Joe
a row.
Is the king of picking winners this year, ladies and gentlemen.
What is the overall score?
6-4.
Wow.
Joe has six, impressive. Bob has four.
And one of those Bob picked the same guy as me.
For the all-star race.
Yeah. That's okay, though. We love Bob. Bob's great. I mean, Bob really holding it down. Who has the longest long shot of the year?
Well, I guess you did with Tony Stewart at 30-1.
That's right. Wow. That is interesting stuff. All right. Let's get into the odds. As I am on fire, are you nervous, like standing near me, that you may burst into flames from spontaneous combustion? Or are you going to run to the ticket window? Or are you going to just take my picks as I go Tomstradamus on everybody this week?
Well, clearly your picks are better than mine.
I'm jinxing myself by saying all this stuff, right? Probably.
Yeah, the trash talking is supposed to be afterward, not before, but...
what do you mean afterward? This is afterward.
Well, that's why. Woo! You've picked four out of the last five, so you have the right.
Go, winner, winner,
you have
chicken
the mic.
Dinner.
Yeah. I'd rather have steak for dinner.
Yeah, if I win a big bet like that 30-1, if that was Tony Stewart, if I was in Vegas, man, I would bring all my friends out to a big-time dinner at the 9. Or the steakhouse at Circus Circus, man. I would be going hardcore. But, got to get right back to work. Here are the odds, as seen by the folks at William Hill, the home of betting. We make two picks each week, a favorite and a dark horse. Favorite has to be less than 15-1. Dark horse, 15-1 or greater. Here are the drivers available for our favorite pick. Jimmy Johnson is 7-2, and everyone sees that Johnson is driving angry. He is possessed by what happened in Dover.
He's very offended at Juan Montoya flopping.
Flopping, faking it, just driving around at caution speed for the rest of the race. When do we start? When should we start? This guy's not going. If he doesn't go, he can't go. Talk about a loophole. That's it. Montoya just drives around at the pit road speed for the rest of the race. When you get to the line, you can go. Jimmy Johnson is 7-2. Casey Kane is 8-1. Carl Edwards, Matt Kenseth, and Dale Earnhardt Jr. are also 9-1. Brad Keselowski is 10-1. At 12-1, you've got Greg Biffle, Denny Hamlin, and Kyle Busch. And at 13-1, you've got Tony Stewart, no longer a dark horse, running better and better, 3 weeks in a row especially. And those are the drivers available for our favorite pick. Now the dark horses. At 15-1, you've got Kevin Harvick, Jeff Gordon, and Kurt Busch. At 30-1, you've got Clint Bowyer and Ryan Newman. At 35-1, you've got Joy. That's Joey Logano for you first-time listeners. Just listen to the way Kyle Petty says it. Joy! Mark Martin and Martin Truex Jr. are 50-1. At 75-1, you have Paul Menard, Jamie McMurray, Ricky Stenhouse Jr., Juan Pablo Montoya, and Marcos Ambrose. You know what I just remembered? I had a dream last night. It was a very regular, normal dream. I was hanging out. I was going to get the opportunity to drive a car, and it was Jamie McMurray's car. Isn't that the weirdest thing? That I had a dream about driving Jamie McMurray's car, like he was going to let me drive his race car.
It's very, very peculiar.
Isn't that bizarre? Like, of all the people to show up in a dream, a very, you know, regular car-related, race car-type dream. How bizarre. McMurray.
Very weird.
75-1. Montoya, Ambrose, Stenhouse Jr., all 75-1. At 100-1, Arik Almirola and A.J. Allmendinger. Danica Patrick, 200-1. And the field, all drivers not yet named, 75-1 for the Quicken Loans 400. And I start off the picks this week. I will go first, followed by Bob Smith, followed by Tommy Noodles, followed by Giovanni in Miami. Going last this week, Gio.
Yep.
What happened?
Bringing up the rear. I stink. I'm just not into things this year. It's not working for me. I can't find a mojo.
What is that? Like the mojo? Why is it?
The glow, you know?
You're great at this. You're great. Like, what's different? Are you not putting in the effort? Is there no charts and graphs? Are you distracted? Or are you just like, when you make your picks, you feel like, yeah. And then it just doesn't work out? Because when I make my fantasy picks in fantasy league, I'm trying. It's just not working out.
Well, I'm clearly trying to win so I could come on here and brag about how I picked a winner.
You'd think.
I don't want to come here and be last every week like Tommy.
Tommy has set
but
a record
now I'm
for
last.
Being last.
And clearly I'm not seeing it. I'm not aligned with the racing gods this year.
Yeah.
You know, I when I let go of the jumper, it looks like if it's going to be all net. And then I shoot it.
Clank.
And I look like the Heat last night.
Clank. Clank. All right. Here's my picks, folks. Clearly, I'm on fire. And it's partly because I am seeing the Matrix. I do have the golden glow. I have all of that stuff. I'm like Bruce Leroy. I got it. I got it going on. I got it. But that can stop at any moment. And this week could be the moment, although I don't think so, because I am using a strategy right now, strategery. I'm trying to get these wins. I'm trying to run up the score. And primarily, the strategy is Jimmy Johnson and Chad Knaus are generally better at the rest of the field at problem solving. I've said this over the past couple of weeks. And this new car at all these new tracks provides a new problem every time they show up. And so who's going to probably figure it out the best of everybody generally? Jimmy and Chad. The Vegas oddsmakers feel that way too. And so I have been trying to stick with Jimmy and Chad as often as I can because I think they're going to win. And that's what I'm doing this week at 7-2. Now, Gio pointed out that Jimmy has never won at Michigan.
Nope.
I think that goes down this week. I think they are going
Which is weird because he dominates at California.
Weird statistical things happen, but I think they're going to check off another box. So give me Jimmy Johnson at 7-2. I could have gone with a KFK. But he just kind of finds a way to mess up. Could have gone with a Dale Jr., and I think Dale Jr. is going to be really good, but not quite Jimmy Johnson-ish. So give me Double J, 7-2, as my favorite, and I'm working a strategy or a strategery. Now the Dark Horse. That is a little bit different, and I was really thinking about long, long shots, like going for it, like going after it, like a Jamie McMurray 75-1. Maybe that's why Jamie McMurray was in my dream.
Pretty clear to me.
I already made my picks, though. Like, I already have committed to my pick. I'm not allowed to change right now.
No, not really.
I sent out the email, like, 2 days ago with my pick, and we go through
a queue. So you say, because you guys, here's another negative to going last. I was left out of the email, people.
Yeah, by
Gio
accident.
Was left out of the email this
week. He was.
See what happens when you don't pick a winner?
Bob missed email.
All year long.
Some guy named Sean received the email. We don't even know who that is.
He's clearly some guy that's a winner.
I made my picks immediately prior to the Jamie McMurray dream. So let me just go caveat to everyone out there. Folks, I've picked 4 out of 5 winners. If you're in Vegas, you're not restricted to the silly rules that we've created on this show where we only make 2 picks. You know, I had a dream about Jamie McMurray. Now, does it mean that he's going to win as a 75-1 shot? Probably not. But wouldn't you like to just throw away $5 just in case? What's 75 times 5, Giovanni?
375.
That would be a nice dinner at the Circus Circus. Or the 9. For you and 2 hot chicks. And maybe 3. So anyway, now that I've said that, I'm going to take Jeff Gordon at 15-1. Because I think they're sneaking up on it. They're running better. This is a Jeff Gordon-type place. Jeff Gordon-type everything. Hendrick. And the problem solving is shared at some point, eventually, the horsepower and the smoke. We heard Jimmy talking about, man, our engines were great and our fuel mileage is great and everything is great. This is the type of track where both of those are going to come into play. So give me Jeff Gordon at 15-1. And those are my picks. Now it's time for professional Las Vegas handicapper Bob Smith.
Hey, guys. How are you? Well, not too bad. We're continuing winning ways. This week we're at Michigan. Boy, I think you got to look at those Ford and Chevy, especially after last week. Looks like Toyota's really got some issues unless they're going to get those resolved this week. As far as my picks go, for my favorite, I'm going to go with somebody that can get it done and has the horsepower. I'm going to go with the 99 of Carl Edwards. I think he can do it. For my long shot, I'm going to go with the guy who's been running really good here, Kurt Busch. He just needs a little luck, and he can get it done and get that win. All right, guys, enjoy the races. Bye-bye.
Bob Smith with a very abbreviated. He was hiding under his desk when he made that call. It was very abbreviated call, but he gave us the Carl Edwards and the Kurt Busch.
Not too much analysis, just right down to the point. Give me Carl, give me Kurt.
I like it. I like it after all my braggadocia. And now, comedian Tommy Noodles, America's favorite funny man, who at some point later this year will be on America's Got Talent.
It's that time of week again where I get to make my Vegas picks now. So, not going last, going second to last. Maybe that means that I'm moving up. I'm getting closer to the top of the list. So let's hope. Let's see. I don't know. Let's go with a favorite. Not doing as well as we all thought he would, but maybe can kick it up a notch. Let's go 10-1 BK. It's time for him to get back on his winning ways and show us how to get it done. And then we'll get this racetrack for a long shot. It seems that we've all gone 15-1 so far. So I'm going to stick with that pattern. And somebody who surprisingly can get it done and get me finally the victory that I need. So let's go Kevin Harvick, 15-1. So those are my picks. You have Brad Keselowski and Kevin Harvick. And I know I got me some winners. Thanks for your time.
And no, thank you for your time, Tommy Noodles. That is what's most important about this whole experiment, is your time that you are donating to this project. Tommy Noodles takes Kevin Harvick at 15-1 and Brad Keselowski at 10-1. And now the great Giovanni in Miami steps to the plate.
Well, all right, all right, all right, race fans. I have not been picking winners this year. And as I look at the drivers left here on the chart, I'm tempted to go with a man like Kenseth, who is one of the dominant factors here, but he's driving a Toyota, and we know they're down in horsepower this week like they were last week.
Boom!
So, bye-bye, Matt. And by rule, I never pick Matt Kenseth to win a race because I don't want to fall asleep during the race. So I'm going to look, and I'm really tempted to go with the Biff. He ran very, very, very well last week. Just came in second. And he does have 3 wins at this track. But thinking of that Hendrick horsepower and the fact that none of you guys picked a defending race winner, and it's Father's Day weekend, and it's that time of year. This guy wins one race a year, and this is the place where he wins that. Give me Junior.
Dale Junior, 9-1. There it is. Not a plate track. He's become the Michigan man.
That's right. That's it. He is the new king of Michigan. That's where he won last year. That's when he won 4 years ago. And if he's going to get a win, it's going to be at Michigan. So let's go with Junior.
Junior.
Woo!
I like
run,
that.
Dale, run!
That would be great.
And for the long shot, I'm going to go with Ryan Newman, Tony Stewart's teammate. It looks like they're getting their thing straightened out there at Haas. He had a very good run last week also, a top five if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, 30-1.
So give me Newman. 30-1 is the long shot, and maybe I can finally get off the schneid and pick a winner here. So come on, Junior. Come on, Newman. Help me win.
No chance. Jimmy Johnson. Got it. Lock it down. Don't even run the race. I don't know. I like it. Let's recap the picks. Giovanni in Miami takes Dale Earnhardt Jr. at 9-1 and Ryan Newman at 30-1 as his dark horse. Tommy Noodles took Brad Keselowski at 10-1 and Kevin Harvick at 15-1. Bob Smith from Leroy's Racing Sports Book 100 years ago, but now William Hill, takes Carl Edwards at 9-1 and Kurt Busch at 15-1. And I took Jimmy Johnson at 7-2 and Jeff Gordon at 15-1. And those are the picks for the 2013 Quicken Loans 400. There you have it. It's been very exciting, folks. I'm going for the Tom Stradamus, which is three in a row. It's kind of like a turkey in bowling, except it's not. And also, I mentioned Tommy's going to be on America's Got Talent. That was my mistake. It's actually Star Search.
Oh, I thought that was a joke.
Star Search?
Well, the whole being on a talent show.
Yeah, well, it is. Star Search is... I tried to pick one that was defunct, and I went with, like, a really popular one that's still on the air. Howard Stern is on it, and Howie Mel, these guys.
How about Solid Gold? Is he going to be on Solid Gold or something?
Tommy's going to be on Solid Gold this week. Solid Gold, wasn't it a dance show?
It was a music show, yeah.
See, I think Star Search, you could do stand-up comedy. What about the Gong Show? That was really the best. The unknown comic, and the guy was actually a secret spy, and all that craziness. Well, that's going to do it, folks. Thank you so much for listening in to this bizarre episode of WFO Radio Ignition. But that's how we like it. We certainly appreciate all you folks out there. Remember, the app is free. You can download it. Most importantly, you can gift it to your friends. You can write a review. Man, these guys are weird. That works. 15 stars, however it works. And remember, if you're in the area of Bristol Dragway, get on out to the Ford Thunder Valley Nationals and have a good time on Father's Day weekend. And all the dads out there, happy Father's Day to you and your sons and daughters. And make sure to take a little time with your dad. Dad, happy Father's Day. And that is going to do it. Gio, happy Father's Day to you. You're your dad.
Thank you very much.
This is your third Father's Day.
Yep.
Three, man. You're on your third annual.
Yeah, I hope to see a few more, too.
The third annual Father's Day.
Hopefully not 60 more.
How about 60 more when you live to 100, 105?
Yeah. And to close it out, life expectancy in 1970, which was 40 years ago, was 70.7 years.
And what is it
so,
now?
78.
There it is!
So 8 years. So by that rationale, you live to be 86 in 40 years.
There it is! We're going to be there. We're going to be 100. I'm going to look at you. I'm going to say, I told you! We'll be doing the show. Lock
God, I hope not to be hanging out with you then.
Subscribe on iTunes.
Lord, take me away.
Will there be an iTunes? See you next time, right here on WFO Radio.
WFO!
The views and opinions of the hosts, guests, or callers do not necessarily reflect that of the station ownership, advertisers, or agencies.